You know what this is like? It's like those old movies we both love.
Now I'm gonna tell you my whole plan, and then I'm gonna come up with some absurd and convoluted way to kill you, and you'll find an equally convoluted way to escape.
Sounds good to me.
Well, this ain't that kind of movie.
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast. I am Oscar, and with me today is...
Ralph.
And it, oh my God, you said it correctly and without any sarcasm at all. You just say, who? Luke? Same bullshit. This is episode number 71.
You did it for me.
I did it for you. I did. Mm-hmm. Oh, we can't not do it. It's part of the show now.
Yeah.
And today, what we will be doing is reviewing three things. Two movies, though, and then we'll be talking about the Academy Awards. I think we'll probably be doing the Academy Awards on top or first. I don't know yet.
La Academia
de los...
Los Oscars.
Oscars. Awards.
Yeah, los Oscars.
And we'll also be reviewing two movies. So the two movies we'll be doing is High Flying Bird, which is Steven Soderbergh's... Yes, exactly. It's about crows. Steven Soderbergh's latest film or latest experimental movie that he has on Netflix. And the other one is How to Train Your Dragon Hidden World, which is the... Finishes a trilogy, right?
It does.
A pre-planned trilogy of the animated studio. What's the
studio's
name? They
took their sweet time, DreamWorks.
DreamWorks, thank you.
They took their sweet time making this, too.
I'm glad. I'm glad overall for that.
I don't,
but not too late, either. It wasn't incredible. It's too long.
No, but you know what they did? They do it in between. They did a show on Netflix or Amazon, I think.
Yes.
Amazon has it, I think. One of those guys has it.
Yeah.
They did a show on there with, like, I guess, just like filler for kids.
Yeah, I never saw it because it did look more kid-like.
Neither did I, but it felt like it's the same voice actors and everything.
Well, what is Jay Baruchel doing?
That's true.
Don't get me wrong. I love the guy. I wish he had more work, but... You know.
I mean, does he need it?
Does he need the work?
He probably makes good money with all these movies.
Oh, no, for the voice acting? Yeah. Sure, but I want to see his face. He's a good actor. Yeah, I like him. Anyway, so those are the three things we'll be doing today. You can always reach us, find us on the website, which is otherpodcast.com. Also, don't forget to send feedback or questions or let us know how much of an asshole Ralph is. Come on, you can just tell me personally. I read them.
You can tweet me if you really want to.
Right, you can really tweet it. No, it's podmoviecast@gmail.com for that stuff. Let's continue on here. Before we do recent discoveries, let's talk about bonuses here. So, the interesting thing is that 5 months ago, we did a bonus for a movie called Bad Times at the El Royale. That will be coming out late this month. So expect that coming onto your feed. Obviously, if you donated, nobody did. You have that already. But the March Madness just came out of my mouth. I don't know why. I couldn't stop myself from that one. The March bonus episode is going to be Captain Marvel, which is a little interesting because, you know, I almost feel like I'm going to have a discussion about Marvel. About actors known for serious, really good work doing a Marvel movie. You think of Brie Larson, for example.
Yeah.
Academy Award winner and nominated after that, too. And the sort of recent stuff, you know, Short Term 12, right, I think. And what was the other one? Room.
Well, do you want to talk about it now?
Yeah, we can.
So don't you think it brings more notoriety to... the Marvel movie?
Well, I don't think it does. I think it maybe lessens their graphics. No, they could do whatever they want. I'm glad they're having fun. I love all that stuff. But I'm saying is like it's very. It's well, like they're trying to bring up their game more.
But don't you think it's like Marvel Studios?
Yeah,
is willing to pay for the talent to get someone in like that?
Well, I don't know.
You don't see it that way?
No, I don't see it that way. I think there because there's a cap to the amount of. So, I think there's more of a cap on Marvel movies, so how good you have to be.
The reason I bring it up is because that's literally Disney's MO.
No, I can see that.
That's Disney's MO for everything.
Yeah.
Is get a good voice actor a good actor.
I know that Brie Larson being an Academy Award winner does bring up her rate higher, right?
Yeah,
her
for
pay
sure,
rate.
Yeah.
But it's also not that significant. She's kind of still an indie actress.
I would say so, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it, but what I'm saying is that she's known, though. She's like a known indie actress.
Definitely.
Right? So she's not like, you
know... Right up there with what's that movie?
That guy.
Greta Gerwig, for example.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Right? Kind of like that level.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I mean, we both know her, but we watch a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean, uh-huh. but there's a ceiling. There's a limit to Marvel movies. There's a ceiling, and it's a shorter ceiling than other things, is what I'm talking about.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is the way I take it. Yeah. Is I see it works for benefits both, yeah. both parties here. I don't think it lessens anybody in the end.
No, it would be a dick of me if I said that. Or if I thought that. I think it benefits
both parties because you're willing to say that you're willing to dish out money for somebody big.
Yeah.
Right? And not just use random people.
I mean, I do like that Brie Larson's getting a big payday out of this. That's pretty cool.
Right?
Because I like
that. And you get people like a Brie Larson, right? For example. Or like, what's his name? I only know him as Tony Stark now. Tony Stark.
Jesus. Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr., because yeah. I always forget his name. Yeah. Even though I love him in other movies.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, I love that movie.
Totally.
And you have that, right? You have these other movies who now it's... Now they've... What's it called? Well, one took over completely. Just that's all he makes is now. It's Iron Man movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have these people who come in and... just make a huge gigantic splash and make, you know, not only in for themselves but like, you know, elevate, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, it gives more things to the, I think it gives more for the movie, and I feel like they pick, for example, I know with Tony that for that role it fit really well, and I think they've done a good job of finding that person to fit that role really well, so even if they have to pay for it, I just think it helps both parties in the end.
Yeah, I do like the idea.
They get so much money also, especially now, right?
Yeah.
That you can go make your passion project because they're like, well, you have your own money. So if someone's going to say yes to you.
Yeah. Well, that's just the way movies have been making these days.
Yeah.
No, I both like... So the thing that throws me off is that I just never saw Brie Larson as an...
Neither
as
did
a,
I.
As a movie star. She's always been like a movie actress.
I 100% you know agree with you.
Yeah. So that's kind of a new thing for me. But on the other hand, I do like that the lines between those two things are being blurred a lot these
yeah.
days. So that's yeah. kind of good because I want people to mix it up. So anyway, that's what we'll be doing for the bonus episode. Can find out how to get that episode and donate to our show over at our website, which was otherpodcast.com. Again, all this stuff is in your show notes for every show we release here. Let's talk one more thing we need to discuss before recent discoveries, and that's marathon talk. So we're in the middle of a different marathon with our other co-host that hasn't been here for this whole year, I think.
So far.
Yeah, I know, right? His name is Luke, and he chose the last marathon, the Steven Spielberg marathon, where we each of us picked three or four, movies, and then we were going in chronological order from release dates, and we started reviewing them, and we did a few. We did Duel, The Sugarland Express, The Twilight Zone, Empire of the Sun, and Hook. And
Hook.
And
wow, that was a horrible Hook.
Oh, Schindler's List too. I forgot.
Yeah,
that was the last one.
How did you forget that?
Because I didn't update that part of the list here.
Because he hates it.
Clearly. And then I think we're gonna do Saving Private Ryan's parts.
Very Jim Gaffigan of us today.
I think we're gonna do some other ones. Anyway, we had others, and we stopped because he's not here. And we decided that instead of like waiting till that happens, which could be never.
Yeah. I'm tired of hearing the Jeopardy theme song in my head.
Nice. I mean, that seems like a personal problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, we decided, Roth and I, to start our own marathon while he's not here. You know, do our own marathons in between. Like, why wait? You know, why not have fun doing our own things? So I figured that we could discuss a little bit of what those possibilities could be.
Uh-huh.
And I know that...
I'm thinking horrible movies already.
Oh, really? Like what? Let's start talking about it.
Just horrible movies.
Like what?
B-rated movies.
Oh, you mean like that as a genre? Yes. Like do B-movies?
Horrible movies.
Okay,
yeah.
Do B-movies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all B-movies are bad. So like try to do the best of them or no?
No.
You just want...
No, just garbage.
Just really bad movies? Just, like movies, B-movies that are... known to be bad, but there's known movies.
We can go to Half Price Books and pick a random movie.
No, we can't be too random. I mean, I could really go random. No one's ever seen this movie.
We go to the library and get something.
We don't even have to go that far. I'm just saying that there's so many bad movies out there that no one's heard of.
Yeah,
that it'll make the marathon pointless almost.
How about we pick flops? Well, this is, and I'm picking bad movies on purpose.
No, I know. I'm trying to see, are you
sure.
okay in your life?
I am, yeah. I just want to feel better for myself.
Oh, okay.
And anyways, We pick flops. This is how people know I'm an asshole. From the current generation of movies, as in like the current streaming services. So like Netflix flops, but like Netflix original movie that came out, but it's a flop.
A flop. Hulu, a flop. Hulu. Mean in flop in terms of what people no didn't one see.
Huh?
In course of viewership or like.
Reading? Well, since we can't really get money out of those movies because they're not like, you know.
Well, box no, you, but you can't. I think there's a way to tell, right? Isn't there like a way to tell if someone, if the movie made, because if we know that Bird Box was seen by a lot of people based on the reaction we saw from it. Yeah. So maybe by the little to no reaction to a movie, we can tell.
We can do that.
If it's paid. Or also we can tell by critic. Or do you want to go by critically reviewed or not?
I haven't thought that far ahead. Just well, I was just giving you an example. Yeah. I know. I don't know. We could do both. We could do critically if you want.
We could do all the streamings. We have. We both have Hulu. Yeah. I have Shudder.
Amazon. We have Amazon.
Amazon. That's four right
Netflix.
There. Right. That's four right there.
Yeah. I can't think of all the other services.
So like originals, right? You're talking about originals.
Originals, yeah.
Right. Or their version of originals. I don't know how they do it. They don't really make the movies, guys.
Yeah, they buy the ones.
I mean, they do something to make things sick. Like, yeah, they do. Fish should do, but. Not really themselves. Amazon makes their own thing, I think, more, right? They buy the
company. Amazon does make their own, though. Yeah.
They're more of a production company. Okay, that's one option. Why do you want to do bad movies?
I don't know. Okay. I feel like they're like the unsung movies. They get made. Somebody watches them.
When you first said flops, somebody watches something. I thought you were going to go with like blockbuster flops, a movie that were supposed to be really huge, but never
made. Oh, we could do that, too. That sounds great.
You know, and we could even just... Like zero in like a decade because there's so many.
Like Avatar: The Last Airbender. Basically, most of M. Night Shyamalan's movies that broke his career. And then he rebooted it.
Yeah, he did reboot it. I would say that's a good one.
All it took was two movies.
Cutthroat Island, I think of too.
Wow, I don't even remember that.
But there's a lot of great movies that were flops. You know, like Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, was that a flop?
Yeah, it didn't make much money.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie, too.
I know. It's a really great movie. And it definitely had like another life.
Did The Mummy make more movie than the more money?
Mummy is a big flop.
Yeah, but it's just not a good movie.
Yeah, it's also not a good movie. Yeah. Well, the thing is that there's a line. Where do we draw the line? Like, do we want to choose flops that are bad?
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or should we just use the most iconic flops of the ages?
Well, we could do something like that, yeah.
Because you think of The Thing. Did it make any money?
Right. Yeah, it's just a good excuse to watch.
That's a great fucking movie. Yeah, right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Where do we stop? Because in that case, I really want to see again.
I mean, right, exactly. That's the problem.
That's the problem. Yes.
It's just a good way of picking movies we want to watch. We could pick movies that were, like you said, that's a good one also. It's just picking movies that were supposed to be good and go by either way.
Oh, like I anticipated?
Movies that were supposed to be good, right? Or that were supposed to be gigantic, should I say, and flopped in the box office, but were actually good.
You're right, that is more specific. Okay, let's put that in our back pocket here.
Okay.
We did mention off air once James Bond Marathon. We both like James Bond movies. Guaranteed 24 movies right there.
I mean, again, that's like another thing just for me to watch James Bond movies again, but I have no problem with that.
Right, no, I mean...
I might fall asleep through four of them.
We did fall asleep. Remember when we first when I got the Blu-ray set?
When we got it. Yeah.
The Blu-ray set, we fell asleep through some of them for sure. Those early ones are rough sometimes.
Not only are they rough, they're just like, why is this 2 hours?
It's like it's 2 hours, kind of racist.
Not kind of racist.
Yeah, I mean.
Very racist.
Right. So,
especially like for our times now.
Right. I mean, we still love them. And they're so ridiculous. I really hate the first one, though. Legit. I hate the first, Dr. No. I just don't get it.
There's too much going on. Yeah. I like that it gets tied into the
but
rest
and the
of the
as the movies go forward, they get develop their style for sure and their 100%. Their isms. But I mean, that could be interesting. I mean, the only way I would do that one for here, I won't just say let's just do a James Bond marathon. I will try and make a hook to it. Like I don't know what we could say or look for specifically that would be different, or maybe do it in a different order and somehow that'll make it better.
Or we could do a pick two movies or one movie each, just to make it short. One movie each of our favorite ones of every Bond,
and then Lazenby. We just end with Lazenby because he only has one.
Yeah, it's Her Majesty's Secret Service, right?
Yes, yeah, or his, Her Majesty. Yeah, right. I was confused because I always think of that other band, Her Majesty. It's the band name and
her,
right?
Yeah,
him.
Him, yeah.
Her Imperial, yeah, his Imperial
Majesty. His Imperial Majesty, yeah. Or her Imperial Majesty.
Wow, we suck. This is what I'm saying. It confused.
Who cares?
So, I know, nobody cares. So that could be interesting. Maybe just do
one of each.
But then, you know, yeah, I guess that could work.
And the marathon can be cut short if we both have the same movie. We don't tell each other.
Oh, you want to surprise it?
Yeah, we could. Why not? We could be like, oh, we'll surprise each other with the list. Then we'll come out with a list. This is there. So let's say we're going to start off with Pierce Brosnan, just to give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, we both picked The World Never Dies or the whatever. I always forget the name of the title.
I might go for the best one of each. Well, which I'm just is saying, Goldeneye.
Whatever you think is the best movie.
Yeah.
Right? And if we both go, all right, mine is this one. Fuck, mine is that one too. Well, we're only watching one movie then of that person. We don't go to that. Well, what's your second favorite? No. Like, we don't pick the second favorite. We just pick
why
our favorite. No,
I always feel like with James Bond, with this particular one, I don't even know if I want to cut it that much. I feel like I want to be a completist about it. But also not. You're right. Also not. Because some of those movies are rough. And a lot of those parts of movies are rough, too. I like Moonraker because I grew up with it. But I don't think I can squeeze a review out of that one.
But that's you know what? I tell people a lot. I go, Moonraker is one of my favorite movies. And I really don't know why. Like,
yeah, because you just grew up with that. Jaws is in space.
And it's funny because I tell people that. And they're like, I don't even remember Moonraker. And I'm like, yeah. Like, see what I'm saying? Like,
he's in space, bro.
That's all you remember.
It's like Nazism in space or something, right? The bloodline thing. Well, the thing is, like I said, I would want to have a hook with talking about it. Like, I don't know, like maybe we'll talk about the times of then. Or like, for example, like every time we enter a new era of Bond, meaning a new Bond in general, like a new actor, we could like take a retrospect. Maybe, you know, how about this? If we do the Bond thing ever, or if this could be the next marathon,
yeah.
Why don't we, like, on our own time, watch all of the, let's say, all the Sean Connery ones.
Okay. You were saying all of them.
All of them, yeah. But I'm saying, all of them for sure. But I'm saying, we watch all the Sean Connery ones, and that's one block review. That's one review.
So it's a single block.
Yeah. And then we talk about...
Not a bad idea either.
We can hook up with
just start off with the shortest.
What their interpretation of a man should be like, because a lot of that is, like, very... male fantasies, right? And it's been definitely updated and now downgraded in some ways, in different ways, but also cooler and realistic. So, like, we can talk about that, and because everyone's different.
You're right.
And we can still end with Lazenby because he's the one-off.
I think we start off with him.
Yeah.
You have to, almost.
Right. And if only we could highlight one movie, if you want. You can just highlight one.
He's only got the one.
I mean, because there's one clear... I mean, what's the one Sean Connery one that's the best for you?
That's a good question. I don't know that.
Oh, you know?
I don't know.
Oh, I would say Goldfinger for sure.
I like Goldfinger, but I also don't like a lot of Goldfinger.
Well, I don't like a lot of, not a lot, but I don't like significant parts of a lot of his movies. But it's because I'm
old. Yeah, but like I don't like a good portion of most of everything I see that has to do with Goldfinger.
Oh, wow. Oh, you mean because it's too hyped up for you?
Huh?
Too hyped up for you?
Yeah, no, this is a movie I had to come back to. It is one of those movies, like Goldfinger is one of the best things.
Hmm.
And I also totally made fun of it in Austin Powers with Coldfinger.
Goldmember.
Goldmember? Who made Coldfinger? That was a different comedy stint.
No, yes, stint. I know. Yeah. I think thinking of all... oh my God, the one that was... what was the name of that comedy skit show? SNL type, but not SNL.
Mad TV?
Mad TV? Was it Mad TV?
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Mad, yeah.
Yeah, it's Mad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, ask your parents.
Magazine. It was my magazine, so my TV.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Coldfinger.
What's Coldfinger? My finger's so cold.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, made a lot of fun of it. But I like it. I still like the movie. I just don't know what my favorite Sean Connery movie is, and it's definitely not Dr. No. I mean, it is not Dr. No, yeah.
Right.
It just can't be.
Or, you know...
it's just pretty bad.
Well, let's go with Pierce Brosnan because I know we remember those more. We were kids when those movies were coming out. So, let's talk about it. What is his best movie?
Halle Berry.
His best movie? Oh. Not his best conquest.
Okay.
Which, if we're talking about looks alone, I will go with Denise Richards. But definitely not a good actress.
That's why Halle Berry wins.
Oh, but she's not good in that movie either.
She's just good.
She's good. She has more screen time and she gets to kill some folks. But
yeah.
So really, you're going with a Die Another Day?
No, God, no. Okay, I mean, GoldenEye. GoldenEye
is clearly the best one there. Everyone agrees.
I
agree
just,
too.
they made a video game that was fucking good about it. Or that started the first-person shooters.
Did that really just
multiplayer,
started?
Yeah. The multiplayer aspect.
That made that's a milestone.
That made it big. Like, everyone goes back to GoldenEye. GoldenEye was the shit.
That's a milestone.
Yeah.
For example, like, so let's say we do Pierce. We're in the Pierce Brosnan era, right? Uh-huh. If we're doing it this way.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Pierce Brosnan movies. We review GoldenEye as the main one.
It's just a really good plot.
We review GoldenEye 4, its plot and everything in it.
Has Russians.
But we all then we get into a conversation about Pierce Brosnan as a Bond. We talk about the 90s in Bond era. What? Right, we can do that. We can, but we'll hook it with an actual review of what we have to talk about it though, of where Timothy Dalton's best movie is, Roger Moore's best movie, and our current one. You know, but we have to have a discussion and choose one.
Yeah.
Together.
Okay.
So if it's not Goldfinger, we still have to come to an agreement at something with Sean Connery. Mm-hmm. That could be an interesting one. We did talk about it for like 10 minutes right now, so. That could be an interesting marathon.
Okay, okay.
An interesting way to do it. It'll just be like 5-6 episodes. It'll take a while because in between we have to watch all these movies. But yeah, not that hard, I don't think.
No, I mean, it's not. It's a pleasure.
I mean, we've seen literally all of them.
Listen, I like rewatching movies that I like.
Yeah.
And even if I don't like all the movies, I still like the movies themselves, what they are. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm still having fun. Plus, I get to do chores around the house.
So. Nice. I mean, yeah, I got to. I don't know.
Hate to say it, but I've seen the movie already. I'd just be like, oh, yeah, that's what happened.
And some of them I will definitely be doing that because I've seen some of them a lot more times, so I'll be just doing that. Right. But others, I won't
remember. But it's like everything. I like watching Back to the Future, and after like the 20th time, I catch things that I didn't catch before.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So
that's true. We could do something about maybe the – it's another idea. The rise and fall of action movies. As a genre, because you and I have action movies.
Action movies?
I mean, we both, that's our favorite genre, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Yours and mine, to me.
Sure. I love The Last Action Hero. I think I watch that movie as much as I can.
But a lot of people hate that movie, and I don't understand why either. I legit think it's
the kid. He's just annoying.
So, I mean, the kid from Edward Furlong was kind of annoying in T2, but that movie's hailed as amazing and all that shit. I mean, does it have to be James Cameron revitalizing the genre itself for people to like a movie getting past the kid? It's like, maybe it's possible. I mean, he did revitalize the genre and did all that. Right. Last Action Hero didn't do that, but I think it was very clever, and I like the way they did it.
Right. Yeah, I find it funny.
We could do that. I mean, that could be a fun thing, like start from like Bullet Era and then going up to here.
Starship Troopers, great movie.
I mean, but
for action.
I mean, we have to find a thing for it. We can just say, oh, Starship Troopers, you know, like.
Right. I'm just saying, I'm thinking about action movies now. I'm just like.
Oh, we could focus on that decade, too. That's all 90s, you said. Some of those.
Yeah.
Some of those, I said. Not bullets. We did something like that. I always thought of an idea to do, or maybe like. This would be weird. Like, pick a streaming service. Maybe not Netflix right away, because it's just too obvious.
Yeah.
But let's say. My first one I think of is Shudder. For them, let's just say Shudder.
Sure.
We just go to things they have only on there. And just review it, like a
Fubo
bunch of
TV.
I don't know.
It's just football.
Oh fuck! No.
Soccer.
No, I mean like a movie, streaming movies.
Oh, okay.
Clearly, I meant that, Rob.
Okay.
Like if I know Hulu has some original movies too, so I mean not many.
So as long as Hallmark doesn't have one, we're good.
I don't know, and we could talk about the service in the meantime, things like that. I don't know. That could be all interesting stuff. And then there's always a chance that we do an actor or a director straight up.
I'm not opposed to that either.
Like if we do a director, I think maybe not someone that's done as many as Spielberg, maybe someone that has done like 6 to 8 at most or something like that, and we just review straight up all of them. That way we have actually, it's not so daunting, and we just do all of them.
Or we could highlight a foreign director also.
Yeah. I'm saying, but still the same. Like hopefully, they don't have 55.
Like,
films.
If we picked, what's that guy's name? Ang Lee.
He has like
300 movies.
20 movies.
No, I get it, but we can only pick things from China.
Oh, that could be interesting.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I see what you're trying to say now. Yeah. Ang Lee doesn't have that. I mean, he has made movies there, but he's kind of like a back and forth. Like, he kind of made his bones here and then went back and did a few. Right?
I get that. But I'm saying if we were going to pick a foreign director.
I think John Woo would be a good one.
John Woo would be a good one, too.
Yeah. Because he went back to his own land to make that movie Manhunt from last year.
Was that last year?
Yeah, I believe so.
I didn't see it, but I know it was on Netflix.
It was okay. It was very John Woo.
So there was doves.
There was doves. Oh yeah, they even run over a crate of doves in the movie.
Oh shit!
I mentioned it on the show.
Jackie Chan.
Oh, you mean watch his?
Oh my god!
All his movies are kind of original. Even his American made or American whatever, they feel foreign. Like
they really do.
I mean, not like Rush Hour, but like
yeah,
I'm talking about Rush Hour in the Bronx.
It
feels like an international movie.
Well, it does feel like an international. It just feels like I think it captures a good aspect of the foreign aspect of him being the foreigner.
Yeah, yeah, that's a yeah, it's
very the foreigner.
Yeah. Stealthy, a good movie. Yeah, it could be. It could be.
I started thinking of action movies, and I mean,
he definitely didn't direct them. He directs some, I think, but not like overall. So yeah, we could that. That'll be like an actor's thing. But you know, we thought of this early off air too of doing like a different country, like a country v country kind of thing. Like you pick one, I pick one, we just go at it.
Yeah.
Like pick like curate five or six, whatever it is, and then
it's gonna be pretty hard.
Yeah, it could be pretty hard, right? Exactly. Well, it could be interesting. Considering what we chose.
Not that great at that. Oh, okay.
I mean, but you can find. I
can Google.
You have the internet. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can help you, but I'd rather you discover things.
Right.
We could pick a genre and those kind of things. Like, I'll be French horror versus Australian horror, you know, like or suspense or whatever, and then see what they have, see how they factor into each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. That could be interesting.
All right.
We don't have to make a decision now, but no, anything jumps out at you right now based on that?
Yeah, you know, some of it does. I like the Bond. I liked a lot of the random stuff that we can do with Bond.
Mm-hmm.
I like the action hero stuff. I like my idea also.
Which was?
The bad movie. The flops.
Yeah, the flops.
I like what it turned into. So you're like thinking an idea, just thinking about it, and then kind of molding it. So I like stuff like that.
Okay, cool. That's a marathon talk. We'll decide eventually what the hell we're going to do.
Or you can decide for us. And just tweet or email or do whatever.
Yeah, if you email us, let us know.
Yeah. If you prefer one over the other.
I mean, that goes without saying. Right. That's what we have an email for.
Right, exactly. By all means.
That'd be great. Right. All right, let's get into Recent Discoveries. Here's a long intro. Recent Discoveries is a thing where it's pretty obvious. We talk about the movies we've been watching outside of each other. So, and you have something for us about an astrological event.
That's not what this is about.
Oh, no?
No.
I thought it was.
You know that's not what this is about.
It's about a star being born, right? I mean, what else could it be if not an astrological celestial event?
I mean, I guess if Rocket Raccoon's part of it, maybe. But he's not. It's the only tie-in I can make.
Right.
I thought I did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's not that.
So what do you think?
I thought it was good. That was a good movie.
Well, just in case people missed it, we're talking about Stars Born.
I'm talking about Stars Born. So I saw Stars Born right before the Oscars. Good timing on me. Could have had better timing, though. I put pause two times. I fucked up. Mm-hmm. I thought for a first directorial debut, made a good movie. A lot of help came from the music, but this is what the type of movie was, so it worked out for him. Music was good. I enjoyed it. Powerful scenes, again, but that's from a professional. We're talking about Lady Gaga here. I'm not knocking his game, you know, but I do like the first half of the movie.
Right, I told you,
significantly
right?
Better than the second half.
Isn't it like a huge difference?
And I almost kind of do agree with Bradley Cooper's character. In the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, what's it called? Jack. No one has a last name here. And, well, they do, but whatever. I agree with him with, like, how Allie's career went. And she, like, decided to go, like, the opposite way of whatever Jack did, kind of. She went more the, you know, pop culture route or whatever. And stuff like that.
Which is kind of like I like some of those elements because it kind of as a meta commentary on Lady Gaga herself.
It is. Yeah. And it also was kind of cool to see I like that that's a thought and that he had the balls to say it, even if he was drunk, to say it. Because it's like, I think it's a thought that I would have had. And I think a lot of the audience had it when it first happened. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, why were we watching Lady Gaga do that? Why couldn't she go this route or whatever? You know, and even if you just thought about it like that in a simple, naive way, right?
I mean, like the country musical route?
Not even the country musical route, just more like the don't sell out kind of thing route. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be country. It could be whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because he has this kind of like powerful moment conversation with her.
Different with the bathtub one? Or a different one?
No, a different one. No. The bathtub one, no. Okay. It's a different one. It's the one where...
I saw it.
It's the one where he sees the poster, the big billboard.
Oh, yes.
And he's he's like, as long as you have a voice or whatever.
The thing that she remembers later,
Yeah, other than that, I like the movie. It was good.
The movie, I think, has a lot of good ideas, potentially, but it never follows through, which is why I don't really like the second half.
After the
45-minute mark.
Don't get me wrong. I really like Sam Elliott.
But he's not in the movie much. What is he supporting?
I don't know.
No, I mean, I almost feel like Dane's saying a spoiler because I really hate what happens to Bradley Cooper's character. I think it's so fucking weird and fake.
Yeah, I do.
This guy, basically the guy who put him over the edge, is the manager of Lady Gaga's character. And I'm like, this fucking asshole guy is going to get to you. And we don't even know him. No one likes him. Why would we give this character credence to convince our main character to do what he does later? I'm like, I'm not saying that's the only reason I hate that. It's just the way the whole construction of that, the whole idea of it. I will not celebrate anything like this. That's a bad, horrible taste in my mouth. Yeah. And I really didn't like it. And even if I agree with everything they put on there, it's not like it was made amazingly either. So it was could have been told even better. So it really went downhill for me. But still, those 45 minutes, oh my God, when she gets off on that stage, it's so great. Yeah. I love it. Love it to death. I will watch that movie, that half movie, over and over again.
They just felt raw.
That was good.
It was good.
It was good. Like, it's rare for me to just go out of the theater, download the damn song, and listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just really good.
I did that with the Royal Tenenbaums. I remember that when I was a kid. Oh, not a kid, but younger. Okay, so that's A Star Is Born. That's all you've been watching. I've been watching...
I've seen a lot of TV.
No, me too.
I don't like TV shows.
This will be way longer if I include TV. I'm not saying no to TV, but like, you know, like maybe like special events, we can do it. But not as a rule, though. So I saw this movie on Netflix. I think one of my stuff is on Netflix.
Oh, just to let everybody know, I'll be sleeping from this point on.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Right. See, you're such an asshole.
Right. You need to let the audience know that I'm an asshole.
This movie, you don't need to. They know already. This is a movie called Radius. Have you seen it?
That's a no.
Yeah. Heard of it?
No. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Something about a circumference?
Nice. It's like the Star Is Born joke I did. Mm-hmm. All right, Radius. A man wakes up with no memory of who he is.
Sphere?
And finds that everyone who comes within a certain distance of him suddenly dies.
Like in his radius?
Yeah. And this stars, just because they're not famous doesn't mean they don't have names. Diego Klattenhoff. Diego is his name? Wow, he looks really white. Diego Klattenhoff.
Is Dora there?
Charlotte Sullivan. Brett Donahue and Bradley Zawadzki. This is directed is a dual director, dual writer director, Caroline Labrèche, I guess she's French, and Steve Leonard with an accent, so she must be French too, or French Canadian maybe. Actually, you know what? I take it back. It is a French Canadian movie. I remember seeing the Canadian thing again. So it is a French Canadian movie. Sorry, took me a second there, because they look as white as people here. So like I sometimes can't tell the difference. And it's in all English. So
I was about to say, I was like, we're not white.
It's all English. They don't speak French at all.
Yeah.
So Radius. It's a sci-fi thriller type, obviously. So it's a concept movie. Where the concept is that, right? The movie starts out with him waking up. He has no idea who he is.
Oh, okay.
And birds around him start falling off. People that he hails, like, you know, cars driving by. Like suddenly the first death is like this woman he's trying to flag down. And she just fucking hits a light pole because she dies instantly and the car veered off and he doesn't know why. He thinks at first, as you might think, unless you read the premise, that you know, she just had like a heart attack or something and just died in the wheel. And no, obviously he goes into a diner in the middle of the day and guess what, they're all dead on their tables and shit. It's just really weird and people just die around them. There's a certain difference, you know, because the car, he makes up the distance, like he knows how much. And so I thought that, so I like concept like this because sometimes they do it right and sometimes they do it wrong. This time, they did it way wrong.
Way wrong?
Not way wrong. I would say that the movie really starts going bad once you realize what's trying to do. And So the interesting about the movie is that it doesn't just linger on that. It lingers on that for a little bit. It's like a one-man show. And then he meets a woman who apparently he was with when he had this car accident, which gave him the amnesia and potentially this curse or power, depending on how you look at it.
Is it all power a curse?
I mean, not to a lot of people who are winning.
I don't know. Spider-Man says it.
I mean, fictional character.
Is it?
Yeah. Stupid.
I just wanted to see if you trip you up.
Stupid.
Anyways, continue.
He misses a woman who he doesn't, like she's his opposite. Not to say that she brings things to life, but she nullifies his power.
So, oh, okay.
Like, he can go into anywhere if she's around in the same area, in the same radius of his. And she doesn't die. Obviously.
Right. And nobody else dies.
Nobody else dies either.
As long as she's in the radius.
Right.
Okay.
And so I'm like, that's kind of cool. I've seen some movies. This is... I'm not going to go into
it. Is it weird that all I can think about is terrorist attacks and people using him?
That's the first... I really thought this movie could have gone...
Throw him in a war.
It's an indie movie, so you could tell they don't have the budget for a lot. Yeah. There's this telephone conversation he has. I think was it telephone? I think so. Oh, no. He was watching the news.
A tin can conversation?
No, he was watching the news about the murders he accidentally committed at the diner.
Yeah.
And nine times out of ten, like they cut away to
the murders.
They cut away. Well, he murdered. It was his fault.
yes. Freak accident.
Murder.
continue. Yeah.
He's watching the
news, yeah.
Yeah. And,
I agree with you. I'm just saying it's funny.
And the movie doesn't cut away to the news.
Oh.
No, I'm saying it's usually a sign that they probably didn't have the budget to shoot that.
That's why I said, oh.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, that would have been, I would have loved to hear the guy. You couldn't even get some random guy from like Ohio.
But Q costs less, and that movie is fantastic. So I'm saying you could do a lot with the concept. I'm saying is that they probably, you know, limit themselves to this small town that they could afford.
Are we going
to
talk about Cube again?
I think Cube is always a good, nice go
to. Cube is that weird movie that we like going back to.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's like an indie darling to us.
Yeah. What is that, Neil Marshall?
Don't ask me.
No, it's not Neil Marshall.
Neil Marshall
did this. It doesn't matter. I'll figure it out later. And it's the reason it's awful and it becomes awful is because they try to force something with these two characters they both don't remember, right? She doesn't remember either. Yeah. And that's interesting enough. But the thing is that the way it comes up with the questions you want to ask or him admitting to, because he hides the truth from her for a little bit, it doesn't seem for any actual good reason, and it doesn't say anything about their natures necessarily, except for maybe the guy a little bit. And that's kind of, I don't want to spoil the movie because the movie does like to be twisty, and it doesn't have to be. I figure the concept is enough where, because this is, for example, there's a scene when they're in a hospital. They have to go to a hospital, right? He wants to test himself because he doesn't know what's wrong with them. And the idea of him going to a hospital is very dangerous, obviously, as you can imagine. And there's a part where the cops are there because they want to question him for this accident they had the day before, and not to mention the diner stuff, that they might separate both of them, and they're afraid of that. They almost get separated. The tension of that scene is really good. That's why you make a concept like this, to make the tension of them two being separated and killing an entire hospital full of people, you know?
Yes, that's
kind of interesting. Uh-huh. So, and they do that. They lean into it like once or twice. There's a really badass scene about these cops inside of a certain house. And, you know, it's just a really cool scene.
Okay.
But the movie never reaches beyond just able to do that. I wish it could just do that over and over again until something happens and they kill each other or something. Or you know, just as long as they don't do what they did, which is they kept making their histories twisted. They kept twisting what they were remembering.
Through the amnesia?
Yeah, through the amnesia. And they try to make it, like, they try to one-up themselves, like, every five scenes or every two scenes or something. And to keeping us going by giving us this mystery on top of the mystery of how the fuck they get to this point.
Uh-huh.
Like, the worst part about it doesn't explain anything about the powers. Nothing. Zero. Don't even expect anything. If you're watching this movie thinking that you will get something out of it, or, like, the origin of it, or any answers, it's not about that at all. And it doesn't want to be. So, kind of let down. So, that's Radius.
Lame.
Which is on Netflix. Has some cool stuff in it, though.
Okay.
Won't lie. It does have some cool stuff. Another thing I saw here, basically my three movies are movies that are like disappointments, but also kind of good in theory. This is a documentary called CERN.
With the C?
Yes.
So, like the place?
C-E-R-N. It is about the place.
Oh, okay.
It is exactly
that's
about the place.
That's not too far from here?
No. No, the CERN. Is there a CERN around here?
No.
Okay. Then why would you say that?
I wouldn't.
You just did say that.
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you... Did Luke pay you to... CERN is a documentary, like I said. It's on iTunes right now. That's where I got it.
CERN. I think it says Stern.
Nope, I didn't say Stern.
Okay.
That's not a very good joke. You should workshop your shit.
Like, it's kind of on the fly here.
Well, stop being on the fly. Just shut up.
How can I workshop something if it's just on the fly?
I workshop things on the fly.
That makes no sense.
It makes a little sense.
No.
A little dollar.
Continue.
A little dollar. No, I'm here to waste time with you then. Let's just waste
By
time.
All means.
No, let's just ridiculous.
I have a hard three. Out.
Hard three?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Do you? Well, I mean,
if that's the case, we better wrap shit up.
Have to edit the show.
You have a hard something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, CERN is a documentary about the place CERN. It's like this research. It's like the research place for scientists. It's Candyland and Disneyland. And
yeah, they have that one thing that splits atoms, doesn't it? Don't they?
Yeah, the super collider.
Yeah, the super collider.
Super collider that's like miles and miles long.
Well, yeah, that's what it is.
Underneath the ground somewhere in fucking Luxembourg or Austria.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember where. It's a very specific place on the Earth, though. They have to put it there. And you can only put it in a couple places. They represent like over 100 countries worth of scientists in there. And
so it's a documentary?
It is a documentary.
It sounds boring.
What do you mean it sounds boring?
It sounds boring. Have you met a scientist?
Well, that's the thing about this movie. It's that there is absolutely no pomp or circumstance. There's no...
So it's boring.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not boring for me.
How's this? The information... What it's talking about is interesting, but the information is boring.
Yeah.
It's just bogged down in details, and that's the problem.
No, it's not even that. It's not even bogged down in details. It's just, that we don't fully understand what they're saying.
But that's another problem.
I mean, we understand to a certain point. It's like they're all like... It's like the intro it's like the intro syllabus for all the fields of science in there, because they interview a bunch of scientists, including like a theoretical physicist. That's the only one I can remember. It's a lot of names I can't even remember.
I believe you.
And I even like the opening. It's kind of adorable with a lady talking about the unified language there is English. But he says that everyone speaks broken English. It's like this unified language, broken English, because everyone is from another country. And talk about different things and everyone's jobs and their positions and what they're meant to do. And like how is married life for a lot of them, things like that, yeah. A little bit. So you get to speak to a lot of the scientists, the lead scientists, into a lot of departments there.
Did they show the two people that believe in God?
No.
Get it, because scientists? Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
And no, I didn't see any Dan Brown character there either.
Really?
Nope. Didn't see any of them.
What?
I know.
Those people don't exist? The They're only books?
They do talk about antimatter. It was a good, nice little discussion with this, I think it was a French guy, but fuck me if I remember.
Yeah.
About antimatter and stuff like that. And they talk about why they do it and the possibilities. They talk a lot about the possibilities of science being a zone that's unfounded. We don't know where it's going to lead to. We don't know what great discovery will be made and what discovery... And 10 years later, after that discovery, will be something useful for humanity.
It's a weird thing to know a lot about, but no.
Right, they talk about that, and that's interesting.
Well, it's weird to know a lot, yeah. But at the same time, probably know next to nothing about what really we know about.
That's exactly what they talk about, and yeah. that's kind of stuff is interesting.
It's a weird, scary thing.
Yeah, 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 but the movie puts it out there, just puts it out there straight up. It doesn't make anything frilly, doesn't pop it up with anything. It's just them talking, and then throughout the thing, they'll show a lot of cutscenes of the place itself and how big it is and how intricate it looks and shit like that. All the tunnels, the super collider itself, it looks complicated as fuck.
Do they talk to any of the cleaning crew there?
No, I thought of that too. but why? I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, I probably would do that.
I'd be like, okay.
But I'm pretty sure
I
wouldn't be
fucking lost.
If I get hired to do a certain documentary, chances are they're not going to want that in the edit. But the thing is that this movie ultimately is a movie where, like, I can see a teacher in high school showing the students kind of thing. Not like...
Oh, God.
Not meant for
a lot of snoring going on.
Dude, because it's just very dry. Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is that I was... It's like that Investigation Discovery Channel or anything to do with the feds or murder stuff that's actual, like, FBI's most whatever. You know, like, this is the how these homicides went down, prior things. you know, so dry. It's like the driest thing you'll hear. You're like, why is this guy's voice so monotone? Like, everything he says is like he's it's like he's reading me the fucking, what's it called, the bylaws of something. You're like, why does he sound like that?
Yeah.
And it's because it has to be, because you can't add.
Yeah, but I also don't even think it's their fault or even the filmmaker's fault, because I think we're just so driven by constant like pacing and drama of fake ass shit.
Well, no, I just
that
think
we require it more.
No, it's just more easily digestible. When you have when you add passion to, you know, like how I'm speaking.
I
know,
but I don't like that I have to work so hard, me personally.
It has to be impartial.
No, I just don't like that I have to work so hard to meet the level of this movie.
Okay.
But that's not the movie's fault at all. It should be up to me to be able to watch this movie without feel like a slog. You know? Like, it shouldn't have to be this difficult.
Right.
I'm not saying this was, oh my God, the hardest thing on the planet. I saw the whole thing. It wasn't that hard, clearly. I've given up on other movies. But like, you know, but it's hard to convince others to watch it.
But then there's stuff like Cosmos hard. Who would exist, and why can they do that? And that's information.
Yeah, but it also has to do with, you know, budget and what they're talking about themselves, right?
I hear you.
They did make that show interesting. This is a very scientific version of a documentary.
Like, yeah.
Like, why else would we say anything else? We said the truth, you know, or whatever. Right. So, yeah.
Well, somebody will like it.
I can see their point. Yeah. I did overall enjoy it because of the information, but I definitely wouldn't see it again or recommend it. Because I can't even convince myself to watch it.
You know, you don't
Which
sound
not
like...
the movie's fault.
It's funny because you really sound like it's going to be a chore to go through it again.
It would be. It would be. Yeah, unfortunately.
I don't mean to laugh at what you're talking about. It's just, it's funny.
Yeah, but
the situation.
You also mean that. I'm kidding. Okay, the other movie, last movie here, is a much more fun, but too much fun, movie called Polar, which is on Netflix as well.
Polar? Is that with that guy who wears an eye patch?
Yes. Mads Mikkelsen, who played a Casino Royale villain, right? Anyway, the world's top assassin.
That's what you went with?
I would have said Hannibal, but you don't watch Hannibal.
I've seen Hannibal.
Oh, you have seen Hannibal?
The whole thing.
Oh, and Hannibal. The world's top assassin, Duncan Wiesla, is settling into retirement when his former employer marks him as a liability to the firm. Against his will, he finds himself back in the game, going head-to-head with an army of young killers. Younger killers.
I almost saw this weekend.
But
I saw Star Wars instead.
Better choice. In some ways. Anyway, so I want to say that this is a... Apparently, it made a little bit of a splash because this is based off a DIY graphic novel that was made on the internet only. And I heard it was really good, really great graphic novel. It's still there. I think you can read it online right now.
Sure.
Or for free. Or for online free. And
for online free.
And this only came out 2 years ago, and Netflix already, you know, immediately made a movie about it or whatever, whatever they did. And here it is, and that's why people were waiting for it. So, Polar, it's what it says, the description there. It is ridiculous. Like I saw
the trailer for it.
Any movie that opens up with Johnny Knoxville, you know it's not going to be that serious.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
Dude, it's true. It opens up with him. And
I didn't know that.
I like the premise of it, though, that there are companies out there that would hire mercenaries or assassins to do assassin work, right? Hitman stuff, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like we see in The Professional and shit. Yeah. And I guess it makes sense that they would have their version of a 401k.
I like how you'll always go back to The Professional, but you won't go back to what's that movie?
What, The Samurai?
No. Wow. No.
Ooh, la la.
No, what's that movie that just came out not too long ago with Ben Affleck?
Where he The Accountant?
People. Yeah, The Accountant. That's more calm. That's more recent.
Fuck your reason. The Samurai is way older.
That's why I said wow.
Fuck you.
Continue.
Oh, my God. This is a special day, guys. All right. So this movie is ridiculous. It's very, very nearly a B-movie. It knows it's ridiculous. And I like the premise I like the premise idea that they're a company that hires assassins would have their version of a retirement plan, 401k or whatever, and that they owe this guy. His retirement is at the age when he turns 60 or something. They wait, so they don't have agents that go past 60 because they get too old for the job and they just fire them, you know?
Yeah.
So at the 1 week before, he's owed $8 million. So the guy who owns the business hires all these assassins to go kill him before his birthday so he doesn't have to pay that. Essentially, it's like a reversal thing. It sounds like a horrible corporate thing that's all too true these days.
Yeah, I'd rather spend the $40 million to pay to kill this guy than the $80 million to pay.
I'm pretty sure they didn't pay even that much, but yes.
Well, I'm just saying.
And he hires this group of people who kills Johnny Knoxville in the beginning because he does it with all the retirees. And it's an interesting premise. And they spend way too much time being too stupid, unfortunately, to carry the movie forward. The movie's hella stylish, though. I would say that. It leans into the violence. It also leans into the nudity in a nice way. So good stuff for that because it's bonkers. There's this scene. The best scene of this movie is when the killers finally catch up to Mads Mikkelsen. This isn't a big spoiler.
And the neighbor.
And the neighbor. Yeah.
I saw the trailer.
Okay. This isn't a spoiler because really the third act doesn't even begin until after that. So it's not like a big spoiler. It's like halfway through the movie. And they catch up to him finally at this I don't know where place. Mads Mikkelsen, the way these killers work, I should say, is that they get this clearly looks like a porn star, this hitman of theirs, to go in and seduce the target. And so they get into position, meaning like a sniping position, a flanking position. They do it, and it's like the middle of a snowstorm. So they're fucking all night, basically. And they were the stuff Mad Mikkelsen was they were doing with him and this girl was hilarious. Went clearly too long, but it worked like a really funny punchline to me. And then the killers come in, and he obviously beats all of them, and it's fucking awesome watching him go outside in the snow, buck naked, take down the sniper. I'm like, this is so ridiculous, but it's fun. That was cool. That was like stylish, cool.
Approved.
But a lot of the stuff around there, though, didn't really work out that way. Unfortunately, it was not stylish, cool. It was goofy stylish. Wasn't that good at all. And the main villain is so odious and annoying. The main employer guy. It's just so annoying that he felt bad for me. So ups and downs for sure. Not a terrible movie, but definitely not a great one either. Not a good one. So it's somewhere in between. And if you really love this kind of movie, like really, really do, then this will be totally up to you. But it's like, I feel like it could have been, what's the movie with Jason Statham? Crank. It could have been the next Crank because it has that energy.
Oh, okay.
But but it's not as good as Crank. No, nowhere near. So that is my thoughts on Polar.
But is it better than Crank 2? High Voltage.
I don't know if I've seen that one, honestly.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that. So check it out there. And that's what we've been watching. And then we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we will talk about, let's just say, the Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah.
It won't be very long, though, I don't think. I will talk about the winners and
the losers.
And the ceremony itself and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
It'll be a short thing. And, sure. And we'll get into our first reviews.
6 hours later.
Again, we are not your host this year, but if we had hosted, it probably would have gone like this.
I'm Freddie Mercury.
Well, I'm the wife. Buster Scruggs, I hardly know her.
Hey, Chad. That's a good one. Hey, Chadwick Boseman, what kind of plans you got later?
These Spanx are so tight, they've entered my Spider-Verse.
I'm Sam Elliott for Sam Elliott Mustache Wax.
Rome is on Netflix. What's next? My microwave makes a movie.
And don't worry, Bradley. After four kids, I, too, have peed myself at the Grammys.
Yes. Now, everyone, look under your seats. You're all getting one of those cheese sandwiches from the Fyre Festival.
Yay!
We're not going to do any of that.
No, nope.
Not doing any of that.
All right, welcome back. Let's talk about the Academy Awards. So two shows ago, we did the nominations, and we talked about a little bit of what we would put instead, mainly me. And we also talked about, like, you know, who we want to win, things like that.
It's sad that Brie Larson didn't win anything.
Nope. It is sad. Obviously, first and only question, or first main question is to, how did the winners and everything in the ceremony fare compared to what you thought it might go? Did it go as well, as worse?
No, actually, it kind of worked out for me.
Kind of worked out for you?
I liked the ceremony overall.
No host is great.
No host is fucking fantastic,
yes,
actually.
Yes, I really like that idea.
There's no pressure. There's no none of this gimmick thing going on.
Mm-hmm. I'll take Maya Rudolph and Tina Fey and...
I think you should just have the person in the beginning Like that.
Have the opening, yeah.
Just have the little opening act. You know, just to give everybody, hey guys, you know, we're taking this chill.
I think they should have a bookend too. Like have an ending too. Like they didn't have one this term, but like have a closing.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Closing arguments.
Right. Right. That's about it.
That'd be kinda cool.
Besides that, since you cut off a lot, why not give everybody the same time to go up there and talk about what they want to say?
Yeah, I heard that they did cut into that. I think one of the ones, either for costume or shorts, possibly both, they were doing the music seemingly pretty early on. And I'm like, they had like 44 people up there. Let them talk a little bit.
Yeah. But, no, but not only that, but I'm just like there's a big bias to the people who are, what's it called, you know, like the big name actors in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like those Twitter feeds are, have way more followers than the guys in the animation, whatever product or costume.
Yeah.
And I bring it up because it's just like, no one's going to fight for them. And I hate to say it, compared to the other guys, everyone will stand up for them. Like, you can give that person enough time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's shitty because, like, we're there to highlight them, and then you're going to cut them short. And you're talking about people who are probably never going to be up there again, or less likelihood to be up there again than...
Yeah, I don't think Elites is going to be up there again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, it's interesting.
It is, and it's some of it's sucko, but it's okay. So as far as speeches go, really liked Olivia Colman, who won for the favorite. I really liked her speech. This was such an...
It kind of felt genuine.
Such an honest reaction. Yeah, yes, that's
well,
why I liked it.
Well, her reaction was honest.
Yeah.
I mean...
Everything she was saying
well,
was
very... I was talking to a friend, and who we talk about movies all the time, and he was... I told him, he's like, I was surprised that she won, and I think she was as surprised that she won, right? And she's like, yeah, I told you. I go, I honestly think had they caught her in the middle of a drink, it would have been a spit take. He started laughing. He's like, I actually think so too.
That would be fun.
Like, it would have been hilarious because it would have been so genuine because her reaction was very genuine.
Well, don't be surprised if I tell you that if they probably coach the actors like, hey, if when we're announcing a category that you're nominated in, don't be drinking or eating anything.
Oh, yeah.
They coach that kind of thing.
No, that's fine. Yeah. But I'm saying, had she been, it would have been fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really liked her thing. Rami Malek was cool, I guess. Alfonso Cuarón, man, he got 3 awards there, and that was cool.
Yeah, like his 3rd time up there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he says about that. Yeah. But yeah, he got it 3 times, bitch. That's pretty cool. What was it for?
Cinematography. And Best Foreign Film.
Best Foreign Film, that's right. I was going to say editing. No, that's not right. Bohemian Rhapsody guy for editing. That was super weird for me. I didn't like that. Because I feel like it's all because of
the ending. So it won 4 things, right?
Yeah, it won a couple.
It won both sounds?
Rami.
Sound mixing and editing?
I think so.
And then it won editing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it won
for
Rami Malek.
Rami Malek, yeah. And The Favorite only got just a 1, which kind of sucks.
Green Book got 2.
Green Book got too much.
But only got 2, didn't it?
No, it got 3. It got for writing.
Okay.
It got for best picture. Uh-huh. It got Mahershala Ali.
3.
I don't honestly. I know. Have you seen Green Book yet? No, you haven't.
No. Mm. It just didn't look appealing to me.
It's. I mean, I saw it because it was just everyone was talking about it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I want to watch it. But.
And I mean, he's good. He's not even True Detective level good even. But no, I don't get it. I just don't get it. And you know about the controversy of Green Book, right?
Nope.
Which I only read because it won all those awards.
Nope.
I read it recently.
I know nothing about this.
So there's a bunch of controversy in some of these movies, honestly. I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody, we did touch on that, right? Didn't we? About Bryan Singer. No one mentioned his name in the title.
No, we talked about it during the Oscars. And I was like, our friend was
James.
James. Yeah, yeah, James. He was like, yeah, no one's mentioning Bryan Singer. No one's going to thank him. And I was like, why not? And I didn't know there was a controversy.
Oh, no, I told him. He didn't know either.
Oh, that's right. Then you told him.
Yeah, he didn't
know. And I didn't know that there was a controversy with him. What he did. And then when I found out what exactly, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's obviously planned.
Yes. Very much on purpose. So, yeah, his name is, like, toxic. Yeah, not even in the speeches. Like, in the speeches, the winners didn't mention his name either.
No.
So what I'm not going to say what he did, but essentially production wise, Bryan Singer came in, did like 90% and someone else came in to finish it off basically. And didn't even give that guy credit in the movie. It's just Bryan Singer directed by. So I guess that must be like a legal thing. Anyway, but the controversy with Green Book, and this actually kind of annoyed me I mean, I don't want to say more because I'm not going to compare one crime or one bad thing to another.
Sure.
But it annoyed me more personally. And that it, which is why it was nominated for original screenplay, not adapted, is because a lot of the shit in Green Book is flat out lies. Flat out lies. Like, as Viggo Mortensen's character, you know the premise of this movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to explain it. I just want to make sure you know. Is that the guy was hardcore racist. He was, this is not relevant, like a story about them becoming friends and shit. Like, oh, that's not true. You know, like, he worked with him for him for like a week or two. And they weren't partners in jobs at all, ever. And stuff like that. And the stuff that the actual famous guy, Mahershala Ali's character, the pianist, the genius pianist, he was... he never wanted all this out because it was fake and stuff. And that this great grandson or the grandson of this guy wrote this screenplay used to retrofit and change the persona of both what his family was and make something that wasn't true into like a race anti-racist statement, like white people can be anti-racist or something like that statement, which kind of feels sour in the mouth, which is why I didn't like the movie, probably. I just didn't know why at first, but it's not that good. I don't care what people say. It's not that good. And the second I found out about this this controversy, which isn't really controversial, but it is because people are going in there thinking and coming out of the movie thinking it's all, that's what happened. And kind of justifying a lot of things based on what's happening in the movie that didn't happen. So it really annoys me. And I want to tell James immediately that because he loved that movie. He was so happy that I won Best Picture. I'm like, oh my God, I hate you right now. But that's how we are. That's why I'm friends with him. And he has polar opposite reactions to me. And so, yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, that's like the basis nutshell of it. But there's more info out there. But check it out if you're interested for sure. It also explains why Spike Lee was ranting against that movie on Twitter.
Did you see this thing at the post-Oscars?
No way.
It was getting interviewed. And apparently he made a reaction of like how when Green Book won best movie.
Yeah.
Best picture.
Yeah.
And they said, one of them, somebody asked him, what do you think about Green Book winning best picture? What was up with your reaction? Actually, that's what they asked him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, because he had just mentioned like basketball things because everything's basketball to him.
Yeah.
He was like,
in basketball.
He really does. He was like, the refs were in on it. Right?
Nice.
And then he was like, I got beat out by, what's it called? I got beat out in 89 by, what's it called? A black guy driving a white guy, a white girl, and now I got beat out by a white guy driving a black guy. That's just the rules were reversed.
He's talking about driving Miss Daisy. Yeah. That is...
He says like, the rules were just reversed.
I love that. That's...
And when he said that I was
history.
Like...
history.
When he said that, yeah. And I was like, Driving Miss Daisy did not come out at the same time as Do the Right Thing.
Did you check it up?
Oh, I looked it up, and I was like, motherfucker, it did.
Yeah.
And I was like... holy fuck, he's right. And I was like, and I agree with him.
History is too funny. You almost have to believe in God because...
You
kind of have to.
You really do.
That is the universe being...
He was sipping champagne the whole time in a power, in this crazy power art pose. Like, I'll show it to you because you need to. And he was like... like, the whole time. It was great.
Dude, great. That's... that is the universe being what we call in this house, rough. We call it the roughing. It's when you rough something. It's when you are a total dick for absolutely no reason other than to be a dick.
No one says that in this household.
I guess you're not around so much when we say it. Sorry.
The look on your face tells me everything. You're still like the biggest liar.
Clearly. I mean, I'm just trying to look like I'm lying so I could retroactively look like I'm not telling
you. You're not that good at that.
Yeah. I'm pretty good at that, actually.
You're not.
I just don't care.
Yeah, that's the problem. Anyways,
what should be true? Like tomorrow, mom says, pulls her off.
Well, considering no one in this house besides you calls me Ralph or Roth.
Well, she'll use it as a verb and shit, so that's different.
Yeah, okay. Maybe a Rafis.
A Rafis. Okay. Dude, that's so fucked up. I almost want to talk about the entire show just about that horrible ironic. It's just so bad. Like, you don't even have to look back in time. You don't have to give, like, how do you be in that year and think that Do the Right Thing isn't more woke and better than fucking Driving Miss Daisy?
But not only that.
How is that possible?
The name of the title of the movie says everything.
I know, right? And yeah. Black Klansman is, my God, how do you look at Black Klansman and then Green Book and think, huh, Green Book should definitely win Best Picture? How do you look at that? Impossible.
Yeah.
You're stupid, ignorant people can only think that. My friend James, by the way. Look, hey, what's up? I know he listens to the show, so I just called him a racist. So there you go. You're welcome. What else do I got here?
I didn't get that out of there, but okay.
No, I know. I'm just making fun of him.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's like a personal thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Regina King, though, for Beale Street, I love that movie.
I didn't see that movie. So.
I know, but Regina King should get it for something.
Yeah, I agree.
In general. Anyway.
I'm not saying.
She's
I'm
pretty
not,
great.
I'm not knocking her. I'm just saying.
Spider-Man Into Spider-Verse, one of my favorite wins.
That was actually one of my favorite wins also.
A non-Disney
Super
movie.
Super surprised. And Sony came out going like, what's up?
What up? That's me.
We went at the PS4. We're winning at fucking movies now.
Yeah, yeah.
Animated though.
Also, Black Panther got a few things. That was pretty cool.
Blanther, yeah.
Got costume, I think, didn't it?
You would think so.
Yes, costume design.
What else did it get? Is that it?
Oh, I mean, the list isn't like grid.
Yeah, I know.
They give you the noms too, but whatever. I'm trying to fight through this. I'm surprised that Free Solo won. I mean, don't get me wrong. I heard great things. That would have been my second choice because I haven't seen most of these. But it would have been my second choice if it wasn't for The Money in the Gap being on.
Also, best was it documentary short?
Period. End of sentence.
Best title ever.
Right.
And finally, because usually I pick titles, you know, I've never seen those movies.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, best, I hope that wins. Right when they said it, I was like, fucking hope that wins. That's the best title. And then it won. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Fucking A.
And like, fucking A. That's exactly what he said. I just, Oh, I just realized this. In the editing, John Ottman, who won for Bohemian Rhapsody, so I guess him and Brian Singer have been working since The Usual Suspects. I remember John Ottman being in the, so they were working together.
You said Usual Suspects, now I can't get the fucking score out of my head.
Score?
Yeah.
It's a good score.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I like that score a lot. Yeah, we talked about that already. I mean, makeup, whatever. Oh man, makeup was awful. I can't believe Vice won for that, but whatever.
Well, and then the people who went up there, we made the joke.
Oh,
they looked, needed makeup.
They needed makeup. It looked like they needed it, right?
Yeah.
Although we shouldn't say needed. I'm really anti-makeup, personally. It's kind of weird. Black Panther won for score. That's pretty cool.
That's what it was.
I like that a lot.
That's right. We did talk about that because it was a good score.
Fucking Green Book stayed out of my life. yeah, Bao was always going to win for best short there.
Right, yeah.
That's the only one that
And of course, James didn't like Bao. What is wrong with him?
I'm telling you.
I don't get that guy.
I mean, I
don't... How do you not like Bao?
I don't get him either. He's extremely infuriating. He's a friend of ours, by the way, guys. But that's why I love him. Okay? He has really totally different perceptions.
This is why I don't come over, James. This is why I don't come over.
No, I don't mind coming over more. Yeah. I'll fight him on everything. That's great.
I just...
And I love seeing how wrong he is, too. Just love it.
I joke.
I love how wrong he is. You hear me?
Keep it ready. Keep it ready, man.
So here's what I like. Here's an interesting one that I really enjoyed. Visual effects. It went to First Man, which is it definitely has effects in that movie.
Yeah.
But the effects in that movie are definitely more in the subtle range, and also it's meant to be more in the darker and realistic range of things. Because the rest of here, you think of Christopher Robin, Avengers, Infinity War, Ready Player One, and Solo. Those are all fake things. You watch a spaceship on there, it looks cool, but it doesn't look real.
We're tired of that.
I'm saying?
We're tired of the whole thing being fake.
For making a fake Sputnik up there or something.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting thing there. Black Klansman won for the screenplay. That's what it was. Anyway, and Green Book won for screenplay. Oh my God. How does the favorite not win? Okay. I hate everybody. Okay. And Lady Gaga, of course, that was a great fucking thing in that moment when they were singing the song on stage. That was cool. And I was talking about the shot. I'm like, apparently I wasn't the only one talking about the shot a lot because everyone was talking about, dude, the cameraman was awesome on that fucking shot. I kept saying, that cameraman is a fucking badass.
That camera guy, there's no way Bradley Cooper or Lady Gaga didn't go, that's what's up, bro.
Dude, they bought that guy a few drinks.
There's no way they didn't do something for that guy.
He's working on the next movie.
Oh, something for sure. Like
they better hook that guy up. He did a good job.
He did a really good job, bro.
Okay. Those are the Oscars. Anything you... So I really like half and disliked. I hate the other half, though. I hate it.
I get it. I like the performance. I like... hate to say it. And I just... No host was good. It was good. It was a really good movie. Really, really good. Really good show.
Yeah.
Without the host. Worked out. I love the presence. I still feel... I love Roma. And I think Roma deserved everything it got.
Yeah.
No knock on Roma whatsoever at all. I still think Mexicans are getting brownie points for Trump. Still think that.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
It's funny how that never came into my head, really.
I still think so. I'm always
just because
before, I'm always in the pessimistic side.
Just because before even Trump, we were kind of making a big splash.
We were starting to. I 100% agree with
no,
you.
No, I think we already were.
Yeah.
We definitely have been.
And because of it, I think what's it called? What's the guy's name?
Iñárritu or
Del Toro? The actor.
Oh, what actor?
Who came up there? Who presented one of the awards?
Diego Luna?
Diego Luna.
Okay.
So when Diego Luna went up there, and he just spoke in Spanish, and was totally not prepared for it.
Dude.
Now.
There's a lot of Spanish in this.
Now, I'll tell you something.
A lot more Spanish.
When he went up there,
yeah,
I was very proud.
Yeah.
And I was very humbled at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was a very good moment for my people, our people.
Yeah.
What's it called? And just not only Mexicans, but Latin America, Hispanics, Latinos. Because it also, if I felt validated. It feels validation.
Yeah.
To go up there, and also the part where what's his name went up there, and we had the captions, the subtitles for him.
The other guy.
I've seen him in. But he's Spaniard. Too. What's his name? He's Spaniard.
Yeah. I've seen him in so many things. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
What's
it called? I just can't think of his name. Right now. I have so many fucking things going on in my head. But just. Opening a door like that feels great, and it feels great to be validated. And I agree. I think the work that Mexicans have been getting overall in general, and just the notoriety for Netflix to give Iñárritu the fucking opportunity to just throw it on their platform and stuff like that, that's big. I think before it just wouldn't have happened. What's it called with other
you
movies?
Mean Cuaron.
Huh? You mean Cuaron? My apologies. Yeah. And I was thinking of fucking. Oh, what's it called?
The Revenant.
Revenant. Yeah, actually, it was. I was thinking of the bear.
Hey, Birdman.
The bear mauling.
Yeah.
And just like all of these like little things, it starts off with giving them one shot. And you're like, oh yeah, you are a good guy. Oh yeah, we'll just keep giving you more other shots, and we're not just gonna leave you in the foreign film section all the time. Because that's how I felt like most of the movies.
That's another blurring of the lines that they kind of have to fix, the Academy, because they have to. Because I mean, they're the forefront of a lot of what people see, so they gotta fucking do it right. So I think that they should really either go harder or faster or better on the international best picture versus the best picture. Like, if there's going to be cross-pollination, then why even have a foreign session? I understand to highlight other foreign films, but then don't pick Roma in there. Or something like that. I don't know what to tell you. But, like, you can't have it in both. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
It feels off. It feels like you're saying Cold War, fuck yourself, and the other three nominations. You know, like...
Yeah, you're right, it does.
We also got nominated for other things like cinematography and writing. Cold War is pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. I mean, that's just my opinion. But a lot of people love that movie. I don't know. It's complicated. And also, what did you think of they took back the whole popular award fiasco thing?
What do you mean?
Remember about mid to late last year in 2018, the Academy announced that they were going to introduce a new category, or I think it was two new categories. One of them was the most annoying one. To a lot of people, anyway. It enraged a lot of Twitter people and stuff. They were going to announce a popular theory, like the most popular movie award.
Who cares?
Huh?
Who cares?
Who cares that they were going to do that? Or who cares?
Who cares about that? What movie was the most popular?
Because it's already a popularity contest, and the best picture's always been determined by that already. That's right. Why people were... I mean, that's why I think I care. I mean, because it just increases that mentality.
Well, if that's the case, we're about to get a lot of other movies that were never going to be nominated ever.
No, no. Wait, what do you mean?
Like Bird Box.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. Avengers will be up there. Bird Box will be up there.
Right. I'm just saying we're about to get a lot of movies nominated for popularity.
No, no, no. I'm not saying I want it. They took it out, obviously.
No, I'm saying if that's the case.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think, well, my point is that when they announced it and they got the rage feedback, and I think they took out some other problem too. Oh yeah, they were gonna do. They were gonna announce the lower nominations, the lower winners during the commercials. Remember?
I remember that
they didn't do that this year. They changed that. I'm right. Saying, but my point is that those are all bad ideas. I agree with people.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that Academy, if you're gonna do something, don't just take it back. I mean, like, if you're gonna try it, you already said it, man. Try it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I don't know what they're trying to do. It's like they're trying to appease, but also
companies do this a lot. They do it a lot more than you think.
Just fucking commit to something.
No. Companies do this a lot more than you think, and it's what we can get away with.
Trust me,
it's the game of what we can get away with. We're gonna say shit, and if it's uproar, we won't do it.
Do you know why this year was an uptick from previous year's viewership? We got more of this. They got more viewers this year.
Did they?
It's because the people thought it was gonna be a disaster, and they wanted to see the disaster. It wasn't. Yeah. They fixed it. But that's because of all the news of the guy, the comedian guy, the non-awards, the whatever, all this stuff. But like, if they just commit, if it's gonna be, doesn't matter, man. Just fucking commit. It's still gonna get people watching. I don't understand why it's a big problem. But I did like it was shorter though. The ceremony itself was shorter than usual.
Yeah,
not the usual, but not the last 5 years, let's say, but previous 10 before that was definitely longer. So I'm glad for that.
Previous 10, yeah.
Yeah.
Longer. Oh, I heard a cool joke.
What?
What's the guy from City Slickers?
Billy Crystal?
Yeah. They're like...
That's your go-to Billy Crystal movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
What's called... they were saying... it's another podcast I listen to, Sports. It's something about the Oscars, same thing. And they were like, man, Billy Crystal must be like on his deathbed because that's all he has to live for is the Oscars. And it's like, what else is he going to do? Like, he has no career anymore.
What career? He's old as fuck. He's retired.
That's what I said. And I was like, well, they were just making fun of it because they're like,
yeah.
Billy Crystal did it like 6 years in a row or whatever. And by the way, he was probably one of the best ones, best people to do it.
Yeah.
Host wise. And it was just like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, no host. But they're like, and then they're like, side note, no host. Really fucking good award ceremony.
I really liked it.
Yeah, like really good.
It's like, you know what's the equivalent? I feel like, you know how my biggest problem with the Netflix Marvel shows is that there are always too many episodes.
Yeah.
I feel like they should cut like 4 episodes easy, right? I feel like there's a Academy Awards that cuts 4 episodes.
That's a big reason why I actually stop watching the Marvel, some of the Marvel shows.
Yeah, well,
it takes me a while.
Doesn't matter. They're all canceled anyway.
Well, yeah, that's true. Now I have all the time in the world to watch them.
Yeah.
And not care about when the next season's coming.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Well, next year when we talk about the best TV stuff, yeah. I'm gonna bash on Punisher season 2 so hard. It's a terrible goddamn season.
You know what?
It's a terrible goddamn season. The first season was pretty good, but it's a terrible one.
Yeah.
Couldn't finish it. Fuck you. Anyway, sidebar completely. Anyway, those are our thoughts on the Oscars. Anything else you want to say? That Best Picture really hurts my soul. But otherwise, really good one. Really good ceremony overall. I like most of the wins. Love it that Roma's on. Oh my God, love Roma. I think Roma is the best movie of last year in a nutshell, even though it wasn't my favorite. Because Annihilation wasn't my number one, but still.
I agree with you.
Roma
was the best movie of last year.
I like the idea that even if it wasn't my necessarily my choice, I'm talking about other wins too, like, I don't know, I can't think of one right now, but like a different one. I would have said like, wait, not my particular choice, but that's a great choice. Yeah. I like that a lot. I like the competition of it. But Vice and Green Book beyond there so much. Oh, it hurts my soul every time. Okay. Those are our thoughts on that. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will discuss the Netflix original, almost a series, Netflix original film, High Flying Bird. So stay with us.
You want to get back on the court? And as your agent, I want to get you there. But we are in a lockout.
There are no actual games to watch.
You think these fools... these rich white dudes gonna let these sexiest sport fall by the wayside?
This team's my family. I need us to be one big family again.
Football is fun, but it don't sell sneakers. To move merch and inspire rap lyrics, they need your services.
The NBA wanted control of a game that we played better. They invented a game on top of a game.
I can see a whole infrastructure that put the control back in the hands of those behind the ball.
What you gonna do?
But I'm about to pull up a chair.
My God.
A sports agent pitches a rookie basketball client on an intriguing and controversial business opportunity during a lockout. This is High Flying Bird, a 2019 movie directed by Steven Soderbergh and written by, Terrell Alvin McCraney.
McCraney. Oh, okay.
Starring Andre Holland, Melvin Gregg, Eddie Tavares, Farah Bala. I don't know why Skip Bayless is there. Zazie Beetz.
Desi Beats, yeah, I love her.
Bill Duke, Zachary Quinto is in there as well, and so on and so forth. Those are the bigger people.
Yeah.
So, quick thing about this movie. It is a Netflix original.
Excuse me? Would you call this a sports movie?
Sports themed, yeah.
Sorry, maybe that's a bigger question. I shouldn't just say that. You were saying.
Yeah, it is a bigger question. But I would classify it as a sports movie one way or another.
Me too.
But it is also a movie that is completely shot on iPhone.
iPhone 8, I believe.
8?
I believe so.
Or X?
No, I think it was an 8.
Okay, cool. So it was completely shot on iPhone, which is cool. You can tell at certain points, at certain parts of the movie.
Mm-hmm. But that's to say that he... Okay, continue, sorry.
No. What were you saying?
No, there's been a few articles since then, and I think one or two. And it is definitely shot on there, but it's not like you can go out and make this movie either. It has a lot of post-production work done to it.
Yeah, so that's...
I'm just saying.
There is that, for sure.
And they have a gimbal used at all times, which is like this...
Device
to hold it steady. Device home, and not, it's not like a guy.
Don't get me wrong. It's not a guy holding a phone going like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready? I'm ready.
This is pro made.
This is, yeah, professionals making it with professional equipment.
Yes.
And the iPhone is just the camera lens.
But
essentially. And the device you're being used.
Right. Right. Yeah. Should we just get into that now a little
bit? What's shitty is that they had to turn off the, what's it called? They had to put it in airplane mode because they kept getting phone calls. I'm sorry. Continue. So we can get into it now.
That's a joke for like when texting was new or something.
Yeah, I know. I just needed to make something really bad.
It's such an old joke.
But it was great. Continue.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
One of the wonderful things about it, like, well, why shoot it on iPhone 8? Well, one is that Soderbergh loves experimenting.
Yeah, that's how I was going to say. Why not?
And I love the man when he experiments. I love it.
So do I. And you know, it's funny.
It doesn't all work, but
that,
I love it when
he does. Is that why not? The answer is why not?
Exactly. I love his mentality. He approaches movies in general. I love
it. Fuck it.
So there's that. And more importantly than that, I think the reason is it gives you mobility that a regular camera wouldn't give you. It has mobility that is much easier to accomplish on there. You can go into really tight areas without needing to remove a wall, for example.
They only needed one Mophie pack. Sorry. I have jokes all day. What else we got?
Well, I mean, fuck. No, it was good. I love it for those reasons, and it works out. I think that's why he did it. Because, you know, some of that stadium shots and some of the personal, like, inside places and the office stuff, like the way he was moving around, it's good. Loved it.
Yeah.
It's, mobility is awesome.
Some of it also felt very fly on the wall-ish.
Yes.
A lot of the meetings in
like,
the offices.
Like that first meeting he had with that basketball player at that restaurant.
Yeah.
That felt like...
It felt like I was the waiter.
Yeah.
Who happened just to be around and be like, I'm at your beck and call.
Yes. Yeah. I really like that. What did you think of Andre Holland? He's in a lot of things. I like him a lot.
I like him. Yeah. He's in that...
He's in Moonlight.
Black Castle, isn't he? Black Castle. What's that? Or Castle Rock?
Castle Rock.
Black Castle. It's just...
Racist.
Wow, you went there, okay.
Just because people are going there.
But yeah.
And their hair is not for realsies. He was in that show, the Steven Soderbergh show, which is probably where they met.
It's a good place to meet.
Right, it's a good place to meet.
In prior work.
Right, oh, yeah. He was in that show that he did there that got canceled, unfortunately, because it was such a good show. So, of course, they should cancel it.
I'll look it up for you, don't worry about it.
It's, wasn't he?
Sex, Lies, and a Videotape. Sorry.
I don't know why you being...
Was he a producer or was he a director? Mosaic.
Mosaic? Oh, he was a Mosaic too?
He did a bunch of... Nick.
It's The Nick. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. But I didn't know he was a Mosaic also. That's cool.
Yeah, he directed.
No, Andre Holland, I mean.
Oh, I was looking at Soderbergh.
Oh, okay. I see now what you were doing. I was looking at Andre Holland stuff. Okay,
sense.
So Andre Holland was not a Mosaic then. Okay, so it was The Nick. Very good show. Watch it, guys. Anyway, he's a good actor. I like him a lot. What do you think? I think he could be able to put it off exactly because this screenplay requires some fast speak dialogue.
Fast speak and a lot of energy.
Fast speak, energy, right? Like corporate fast energy.
Right. Lawyer energy.
Like lawyer energy, yeah. But there's no lawyer. I mean, there's a couple lawyers in there. But he's not
He's
a
an agent.
He's an agent.
Right? So it's almost like
it's a like Jerry Maguire, but like cruder and more realistic.
And he shows him money.
No, he doesn't. He shows them a transactional money, but yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. So, what do you think of him?
I liked it. I liked his. No,
he kept up.
He kept up. Actually, we kept up with him. We had to keep up with him.
Yeah, we did.
I think that's a bigger thing, and it's you're following his pace. He's setting the pace for you, and if you're not on his,
it does feel that way.
So that's what's good about it.
I really like the intro because of that. I think it gives you the introduction of him and it shows you what you're in for. But more importantly, this is the guy you should keep up with.
I also felt like he was very human. Is that weird for an agent?
Well, they're all human. I mean, somewhere in there.
I get it, but they, don't have they don't. They didn't. He didn't feel like. Yeah, that's what I figure an agent is.
You mean like an archetype?
Yeah,
he didn't feel like
it. Did not feel like an archetype.
I see your point. Yeah, okay. I think he brought something for that movie that. Not many others in the movie did, but they weren't the main actors. So
yeah.
I agree with you, and I really so this is why I consider this a sports movie. I think this is more of a sports movie than a movie that actually shows the sport, because it's so specifically about basketball that I don't understand at all.
So what's funny is that I don't watch basketball like that. I still don't get me wrong. I still follow this movie. Enough to be like, okay, I can see this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was just like, oh, yeah. They made references, and I was like, oh, I think I got that one. And I was like, okay. And I, you know, stuff going on, and I was like, I'm a little lost, but not too much. But for the most part, I held my own as the sports aficionado of the podcast.
I guess, yes. When we were watching this movie, I'm like, well, I better explain this to me.
What's funny is that, and I figured this was going to happen, I was like, Oscar's not going to understand a lot of this.
Well, the thing is that what I found surprising, it wasn't watching the movie, wasn't watching it and not understanding it. It was that coming out of this movie, reading or hearing what people were saying about it on Twitter or even listening to a podcast about it.
Yeah, what were people saying?
That they didn't, unfortunately, most critics are not sports people.
Not shocking.
They were so lost, a lot more lost than I was. And I thought I was a little lost, but I realized that I understood the movie a lot more
than
people expected
You're
me to.
You're welcome.
I'm not giving you credit for that.
I'm taking it.
But I'm not giving it to you.
It doesn't matter.
I will give it to the other Raphael in our family, probably, because he did raise me on basketball. Mainly basketball and soccer sometimes, but really a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
So, don't take the credit.
Still taking it.
No, you're not taking it. It's super... I found it barely manageable to get through. It wasn't easy to follow, but it was... barely manageable, and I like to. I both like
the nitty gritty details were hard to follow.
I both like and was a little frustrated by the movie not being at all pussyfooting on what the fuck it was doing. Its characters knew what they were talking about. That's all that mattered.
That's all that matters,
right?
Yeah,
it's very. It seems like you don't have. It would benefit if you know a lot about basketball.
I really wish I got the works cited page for this or the footnotes.
Yeah.
Something like as they were talking about it, be like, "This is it. I'm all." Thank you, because I did not know that.
Yeah, and I almost want to have a discussion, but I don't think I am as eloquent or intellectual enough, or maybe I haven't thought it through enough, or haven't written enough notes, or whatever, enough to have a conversation about the idea of could there be a universal language, maybe a universal body language or tone language, where you can tell an entire movie about something that no one understands? Not even basketball, something that isn't of this world. Like something
CERN.
Something made up. Let's just say something made up. CERN. Something made up where all the characters know exactly what they're talking about, but no one else knows. And can you make a movie sustainable?
I think we've seen that before.
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying no one's done it.
Yeah.
But they're very extremely rare because I can't think of one right now.
No, neither can I, sadly to say.
I think there's flourishes of that. For example, you think of, here's one that just came out, Cloud Atlas, right? Some of the way that people were living in some of the short stories are different, but they had plenty of other stories that we related to a lot easier that were from our times from our history of times, right?
I was like...
But some of those really futuristic stuff, they were living lives that we would never understand.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. So when you pick Cloud Atlas, I was like, where's he going with this? Because we had to not understand a lot of that movie.
Oh, really? I understood it all, but I feel
I'm talking about from the established characters.
Yes.
In that realm is what I mean.
Okay.
The movie itself, I got.
Yeah.
But that established part.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say is that maybe it's like that. But
that movie you just saw where they're in an established world already. The one you saw.
CERN?
No. The other one that failed.
Polar? Radius.
Oh, radius. Yeah, circumference.
Circumference. Diameter.
Whatever.
Pi.
Sure. Pi's in there?
No.
Pi times radius squared.
I wish I was smart enough to really come make an interesting conversation about that, but I just brought up the topic, I guess, and that's it, and we're going to move on.
So you can think about it, and we don't.
Yeah, exactly. We'll give you the work. Why don't you work, bitch? Okay. So, I really liked the movie. I found it quite enjoyable, and I like how I both like and dislike, because I guess I wanted more, how the movie ended up. And when the movie ended, I'm like, oh, that's what we were watching? Kind of feeling.
That's how I felt too.
And we're gonna get into spoilers, but we haven't said much about the movie yet. What do we think of the movie?
I liked it. I liked the movie as well. I like where it goes overall. The one character that I found the weirdest is Zazie Beetz' character.
Oh yeah,
Sam. Because
by the way, she's the main actress in Atlanta. She's really good.
Well,
and Deadpool too. Sorry.
Yeah. And I found it weird because I just felt like she was almost like the God Machine in the movie. She was like
the one with the answers. Or is that what you mean? Or
well, she just happened to be at the right place at the right time for a lot of the stuff. And
oh yeah, I guess there's some fast and loose going there.
There's a lot of little stuff going on, and it depends a lot on her role as who she is, and then like it's like this assistant who's not an assistant who is obviously aspirations to be more, to be the first, to not be a follower, but be her own leader kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff going on with that character. I love what's going on with that character. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on, but it's just like this like mystery with her also. It's just like she just randomly appears like, so what did you need? You're like, what the fuck? Like, where'd you come from? Also, why are you in my house?
I get it. And maybe they treat her the same way they treat the lockout and basketball lore, because they're like, you just know.
Yeah.
This character would appear in my house. You don't know that yet, but you know now.
But at the same time, I felt like that the first couple times she did it, and afterwards I was just like, this is probably how she was the whole time when I don't know her life. I don't know their life. I don't know their established. These are established characters.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about them, and I'm assuming this is how her role is her the whole time. She's always been there for him in these roles and the situation.
Yeah.
Right. Follows him to whatever, and stuff like that. So I kind of let it pass, but it is a little bit of a fault for me in the movie.
Yeah.
I let it pass while I watched it. I was like, think about it back. I think it's a fault in the movie for her just to be this thing. Not that you needed to explain it to me. I just felt like we crutched on her too much.
Yeah.
For her, for those reasons. I like what the movie speaks about. I totally love this little inside thing that they have to apologize every time they mention a slavery reference.
Oh, yeah.
Love that. What's it called? It was just really cool, especially he's like, wherever I go is my court. I was like, of course it is.
Such a fucking coach.
Right, the coach. What is it? He plays what general in what, or commander in what movie? That actor.
Platoon?
Is it Platoon?
I think so, isn't it?
I think so. One of those movies. I knew it was something super big that he's played before. And he always has that same face, that's why.
He played gangsters. He played a lot of different kinds.
Yes, yeah. So he was very toned down.
Predator.
Predator.
That's what you're thinking of. I was trying to think of what you were thinking of. I think it was Predator. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably was. So anyways, I really did enjoy the movie. When they talk about the lockout and a lot of those bogged down details they get into, that you're probably was where you kind of were more lost in.
Mm-hmm.
I got it all. Like I knew all that. I got more lost in when he starts talking about what they're trying to do, like push in forward with like how he's fixing the situation.
Yeah, that's where I got spoilers. We'll get into that right now.
Yeah. So, but overall, I did like the ending, and I actually didn't see that coming, but I should have.
Nobody did. Oh, I mean, that's not true. The clues were there, I guess.
The clues were there. Yeah. I should have.
I never saw it coming.
Right, and yeah, so it was pretty cool.
It's not a twist ending, by the way, folks. In case you're hearing this without watching the movie.
It's not a twist ending at all. And the movie also felt very adult, but never talking down to you.
Yes, yeah.
That was another good thing about the movie.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Which is weird because...
the problem for that is that people don't understand.
I say that's weird because we're talking about rookies starting in the NBA, and you're talking about these are kids. They're like just out of college, or if not, they opted out of college and they went right after high school, or whatever the case is. So
yeah.
They're still younger people.
considered kids, I guess, for more adult people. And no one, although they do mention that a couple of times, like you're still young, like you're still whatever. It doesn't feel like I'm being talked down to, at least in the movie.
Yeah,
and that's cool. I don't like to be talked down to in a movie. So
yeah, all right. So let's get into spoilers for High Flying Bird, starring right now. My God, ain't right.
We're at the height of the information era. We need a story.
What are you doing, man? This is my career.
You have a chance, sir, to do what has never been done before.
Come on, man.
Give him the rock.
I don't want to do that.
This is the matchup everyone's been dying to see. We may not.
24 million people saw the video.
I'm not thinking of breaking up our happy marriage.
What you saw yesterday was just the beginning.
Oh man, this is getting crazy.
Of what could be a whole new industry.
He's up to something.
You did all that?
You know the league with a black ball.
You scared?
We don't need the league. We are disruptors. It's your game now.
You were born for way more than this. Don't let them fool you.
So some of the
they
stuff
die.
That,
no,
some of the stuff they lost me in was the I was mainly lost in some of the deals, the back and forth dealing with his main player versus the other player, the mom who was repping them. Uh-huh. But not really her so much, although very nice reversal, because I did expect him to go to like a lower rent place, things like that, but she was the opposite of that, and it was really cool. That was a really cool scene. Yeah. And she took him down. And then
I just love that he was like, I can't even argue. Yeah. And he just fucking took his drink and he's like, I'm gonna be polite, finish my drink,
and then
and
go back home.
I just go back home because I have nothing else to fucking do.
Yeah,
like I lost.
Anyway,
this is a lost battle.
Yeah, it's a lost battle. Yeah. So anyway, but him and his actual client, although was he anyway? Some of that stuff got confusing, especially so when it got to the ending, their last confrontation, when like, oh, so that whole Netflix thing was a bullshit thing and whatever, and like, all for what? Do you know what you're doing? It's all about money. Things like that. He was arguing about it. He was pissed off at him for taking it back after convincing him to do it and shit like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, and it felt like a cryptic, weird thing where I lost me a little bit. I didn't understand everything that was happening between those two people or their business transactions. I just got lost.
Right there, what's happening is, obviously besides him getting mad at him for kind of using him as the, mm-hmm. the voice of the thing.
Yeah.
My understanding of it, I could be way off, but someone is. If I am, by all means, feel free to tell me. Anybody out there? my understanding of that was when he uses them or whatever, the whole part of the lockout is that we're talking about millionaires, which are the players, right? Are owned by the billionaires, which are the owners, right?
Yeah.
And we never care. None of these people have ever had power. And that's what he's trying to get them to. The whole Netflix deal, the whole them giving this.
Oh, no, I get that.
Yeah. Right. That whole scene is just them about him showing them, like, you don't even know, like, you're trying to get power. I'm trying to get you power for yourself here so you can eventually not even squander over whatever amount of millions of dollars. That's going to be chump change compared to what you're going to be making later. And that's literally all he's talking to him about. All of that's the argument about, is that the kid doesn't understand that that's what he's for. He's being used as a pawn. And he's telling him he's using them, but he kind of was, right? But it was more like, I'm using you to end the lockdown. Like, we just needed to scare them to show you off that we...
Well, that's what I'm saying,
that's how crazy their contracts used to be, or like were, you know, are at the in the point of time, is that their contracts are so like locked down. Is like, you're owned by the owners, and the owners can do whatever the fuck they want with you. They want to trade you, they trade you. You have no choice in the matter. You've never had a choice. It's almost like living in slavery if you look at it, right? The difference is you're getting paid. It's paid slavery, right? You don't get the choice.
Yeah.
That's literally all it is. There's nothing else to it.
Okay, that last part, I'm getting that now more. But the first thing is that, so here's why I got confused. Not confused, but like, I guess I didn't know what the movie was trying to do. Because, so the movie introduces this really awesome game-changing idea, which is to give the players all the power because they're the famous ones. And, because the rich billionaires, no one knows about them.
Yeah, you...
Most people know. Some know.
You get the LeBron Jameses of the world and get them to book a Vegas thing to play basketball and put it on, online or whatever you want and sell the tickets at whatever price you want.
Yeah.
Get directly cut everyone off.
Right.
Right, and give the people what they want. It's like the UFC or boxing match.
Who gets the profits?
Well, they would.
The players, though.
The players do.
They just have to cut. They just have to cut whatever they did.
Yeah.
So whatever the fees cost.
And it was a great idea, but the movie doesn't follow that all the way out because the movie, I guess, is
The lockdown ends.
More cynical. Well, it's a little more cynical than that because I think the movie itself is more cynical than that. Maybe the screenplay is too afraid to go that far. Maybe. Maybe it's trying to be...
I think it's actually more realistic than you think.
Well, I think the same thing. Yeah. I think they both mean the same thing in this case.
Yeah. What's more realistic is in how what's actually happened in the NBA as well.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm sure. But I've seen other cases where you can see this happening in other fields. Not basketball, but other fields of sport or entertainment.
Yeah.
But anyway, is that instead of following it to his logical conclusion, going farther into that idea, it takes it back and says it was a scare tactic to end the lockout and provide his client with the deal he needed, right? And use them in a way to give him the example to so he won't be used in the future. So he can, like, learn something out of it, right? I guess that's what you're saying about that.
Sort of. The thing is, they already had a deal. So he was just afraid that he didn't have money. So he took money. That's the whole thing in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He took a loan out.
Yeah, he took a loan out.
Right. And I love his answer to it. I love his answer. Mm-hmm. Like, you took a loan out. They're calling you, right? You can't pay it back. Your credit gets hit. Guess what? You're going to make millions of dollars. Who gives a flying fuck? Don't answer their phone calls.
Yeah.
Pay it back later. Your credit will take a hit. You'll pay it eventually. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, you're an idiot. That's it. Someone offered you a nice deal. You took it. All right, cool. You're just being an idiot. This is what you're freaking out about?
And they have a big thing about this movie. Not a big thing, I guess. A side plot thing about street ball versus pro ball or regular ball, maybe. I don't know what they call it. But street ball, right? And that the main client here is he's a street baller. He came from the streets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a very different life for him.
Very Derrick Rose. Uh-huh.
Sure.
You know who Derrick Rose is?
No.
Chicago's darling for basketball after, like... just had a lot of injuries. They let him go. He's making a big comeback now. But he was like supposed to be the Chicago's next biggest thing. He came from Chicago, grew up in Chicago.
Nice.
A lot of street ball, like you said.
Plays here?
Yeah, well, not anymore. He plays somewhere else. He got a lot of injuries. They let him go.
Is that another owner changing?
He just went really hard his first like years. He did really great, but he fucked up his knees. And he just had a rough stuff. And he evolved. He changed the game. And they might get him back now. We are like 10 years later. It's kind of weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good.
Like the guy.
That sounds like a movie.
The guy who could have and should have been. He was for a little bit. Not knocking anything out Derrick Rose, but kind of reminding of that.
All right. Sounds like a movie. That's a movie waiting to happen. Or a 30 for 30, right?
Yeah.
And they mentioned that in the movie too. Like, mm-hmm. Like you're one step away from becoming a 30 for 30. Someone says that.
You know what's funny is that they do. Actually, that's a big thing now.
Yeah.
In the sports world.
Yeah.
It's like you're like a 30 for 30 coming around. You're like, whoa, like
it's big enough where like everyone's recognizing it more. Of course,
it's gonna
be a bigger thing. Same thing with Netflix. You know, they use Netflix as a as an example to scare the owners into getting out of the lockout. You know, they scare them into saying like we're getting a Netflix special to show these two. The best players right now, the best rookie or drafting, whatever they call it, I don't know what the fuck, players to play one-on-one. Like that video, the viral video that we never get to see except for like one thing.
Beautiful though, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The movie wants to never show you basketball.
Yeah.
It's what people want, you know, and that's kind of what I wanted. And I think the Steven Soderbergh is dangling that carrot in front of you saying like, we built up these characters and this world up for you. To play this, what could be a showcase scene of these two playing basketball and getting you to root for one of them, but like no, I'm taking it back because the movie's not about that, and then it goes into the whole last act there of the lockout being overturned, and the Andre Holland's character either being promoted or fired. I'm not sure what happened there.
That was a weird scene for me.
That was a weird scene for me too, with the Zachary Quinto there. Was it Zachary Quinto?
Yeah, it was Zachary Quinto.
Yeah, we got weight. He gained weight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he got promoted. He took Zachary Quinto's job.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
From
okay.
him.
Okay, that's. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
What's happening there.
And it's funny because that's when the guy comes in and goes, "You have an appointment for this and that," and like, in your office, in this office, they're about to come meet you, mm-hmm. and like.
the guy didn't even know he got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the beautiful part about it. But yeah. It was weird because I was like,
I guess I didn't see that. I kind of felt a little bit of the impact of that old shit, but I didn't understand it really. So,
well, that's the problem is I didn't understand it either. It just felt like it was like, oh, I didn't know that.
Why should we both be wrong? You got fired.
It was cool.
We missed it entirely.
I mean, we could be. Yeah.
I don't think so. I think you're right. I think that's the gist I got too, but I wasn't sure. Yeah. And then the movie ends with opening this. So earlier, very early on, he gives his client, and I guess he had given this girl too
the Bible.
A Bible. But it wasn't. It was just sealed up. It was like this emergency plan, emergency kit. He called it. Or something.
Yeah, he said whenever you're in an emergency, you'll know. Just open it. You'll know when.
And then she opens it for the player, and it's this book. I forget the name of it. I should pull the title up.
But let me see if I can find it. Keep talking.
But it's about. I don't know what it's about, but the title seemed to allude to the history of black people and sports, or black people and basketball, because it had like a basketball figure on the cover, I think. And it's a racially aware book about black people in this country and this sport. And I guess it's like it's when you realize that the movie is Andre Holland's like crusade to get black people into the position of the billionaires that own all the black players. And in a way, he is becoming that by being promoted, right? He's one of those people that might be becoming that because he knows the game so well that he's getting other people to follow him because everyone knows he knows the game so well.
Yeah.
So, like, that's really cool sentiment, and I really liked it. And it was a stealth hit.
I mean,
because I didn't see that coming.
Right. And you feel the power that he has when he talks to the, what's it called? To the NBA rep, the players rep?
The president. The Wire?
Yeah. The president.
Oh, the Wire. The president, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what she is, right? Yeah. And she's the president of the NBA Players Association,
sorry,
right?
Yes.
And, like, besides the fact that they have this, what seemingly looks like a past relationship or friendship or whatever the case is.
I think they work together maybe at some point.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah. That's what I meant by a relationship, not like as in like they dated or anything.
Oh, yeah. I just want to make sure for our listeners.
Yeah. No. What I meant is like they know each other prior. and obviously really well. They just talk to each other like they know each other. And what's it called? That when you find out that he's got her ear, essentially.
Yes.
And that's a big thing. And we know all about that. If you've seen any type of movies or any back office deals or whatever, mm-hmm. like he's got her ear completely.
Yes.
And trust. That's a big thing. There's two things he's got. So like...
You might need some finessing and convincing, but not much.
Not very not.
She'd be willing to listen. That's my point. Yeah.
It's almost just to do it out of theatrics for this point.
Yeah, there are some play-esque theatrical writing. By the way, the writer is the guy who did If Beale Street Could Talk, I think.
Really?
And Moonlight.
Go for it.
Which is, I don't know if you know this, but that guy is well-known at this point, definitely, for writing plays and adapting plays. So
that
makes perfect sense why this movie feels that way.
Fucking no one there. Okay.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Awesome. Thank you. You find out how much power he has, and then kind of the assistant fawning over him about like, well, I chose you. Mm-hmm. You didn't choose me, FYI. Like, wow. I came to you and I knew that, and I kind of wanted to see what you were.
Yeah.
And he lived up to all the hype.
Yeah. Although when that scene happened, I wasn't sure if he was that person for me yet, but he definitely became that person.
I 100%.
He's like, I was still testing him.
Yeah, so
thing,
was I.
You know what I'm
so
saying? Like,
I.
What is this guy made
right.
of?
But obviously, you know, she's obviously, they're established characters,
mm-hmm.
so she already saw enough.
I think this conversation is making me raise it a star or something. I really like it more.
I did like it.
Yeah. More, I mean, than I did before walking
more than
into
I did,
this
yeah.
conversation. Yeah.
But you know what I appreciate cool. a lot from that fight scene that they have with the client?
Yeah.
Andre, right?
Andrew Holland's the main actor's name. I've been calling him Andrew Holland.
That's right. Eric.
Eric, okay.
Eric and Ray. Sorry. And the character.
Eric Andre, the clown.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's Andre Holland and Melvin Gregg, 2 G's.
Fancy pants.
I guess.
I don't know.
Anyways, Gregg-a-ga. When they're having that argument, he's kind of telling him off, and he's like, you never had my interest at heart or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then he tells him, like, if that's how you feel, he takes it. He takes the whole hit. I love how he takes it, by the way.
Yeah.
He takes it. He's like,
you have to have an iron stomach.
He really does. And he's like, I appreciate everything you do. He's like, all I was here to for you to make money, and I already did that. You're going to make money anywhere else, whatever you have to, right? But the level of respect, they still had respect for each other.
Yeah.
They still ended with, like, you go on your way,
you have a great life. You have a great this. You know, my I'm here if you ever whatever.
You know, those,
and he goes, gives him the fist bump, right? They do the whole quick handshake fist bump thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like this. I feel like any other person, any other like, would be offended. If it was a white person, if it was a this, if it was
even
a that.
If it was like, because on the basketball point of view, I really didn't think that he would end that conversation with him fist bumping him. I thought he would be pissed off and storm off. But in his, well, I expected him to be frustrated.
Right, but it wasn't. He took it and it was just like, no, man, hey, we good. We're doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to know that in the end, I still had your interest, you know, your as a person interest at heart. I would never, you know, hurt a client or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, and it was like super mutual. And I was like, that is like super respect, super like, I can just yell at you and be like, we still cool, right? Oh, yeah, we're cool. I'll see you at lunch later.
Yeah.
Kind of scenario, like only like.
I was just punching you like 30 minutes ago.
Only like best. Yeah, exactly. Only like best friends would have or family.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that it was just that nonchalant and that very easy to do is I love that scene. That scene, just that little part of it is really cool.
Yeah. And you know what that scene also kind of felt like? I felt like Andre Holland's a shark, and this guy, it was a fish that was attached to the shark and just detached to live his whole life. That's what I felt like, because he's that much of a bigger scene character, scene maker and shit.
For sure.
That's what I felt like, too. Like, okay, carry on, little one. Yeah. You're off my belly now. You can't eat on my shit anymore, but carry on, do your thing. Very, very cool. Anything else you want to say on High Flying Bird? Why is it called High Flying Bird?
Because it can fly like an eagle.
I mean, is that like a term I'm not getting, a basketball term at all? I'm not understanding.
To my understanding, no.
Okay.
I don't know. But then again, I don't know.
Okay. Just curious. If someone out there knows, please let me know. I would like to hear theories. I mean, we could make up a theory, I guess, but I haven't really thought of the title. Nothing comes up right away. So that's High Flying Bird on Netflix. It is one of their arguably few successes as far as the Netflix originals go.
Through our eyes.
Although the last couple, Buster Scruggs and Roma, obviously big fucking hits. So lately it's been okay. So that is our review. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our last film of the evening, which is How to Train Your Dragon, Hidden World. Stay with us.
You do know my leg isn't a chew toy, don't you? Is this what you want? Yeah, go get it. How am I supposed to get down? Hey, bud, wait up.
Well, I started out all alone.
He's not the only one.
I'm learning to fly.
Another Night Fury.
But I ain't got wings.
It's more like a bright
a
fury.
Light Fury.
Yeah, yours is better, probably.
Well, the good old days.
When Hiccup discovers Toothless isn't the only Night Fury, he must seek the hidden world. A secret dragon.
See, why did you say, why did you react to me?
Because you're so fucking sensitive.
Okay. A secret dragon utopia before a hired tyrant named Grimmel finds it first. Yeah, it's shitty. Anyways, How to Train Your Dragon, the hidden world.
I think it's just Hidden World. Oh, it's the Hidden World.
Yeah, I know. That's why
I read others that has.
That's why I keep saying the Hidden World.
Wow.
No, I didn't drop it. Third trilogy, wrapping it up. I felt like it anyway.
There's another marathon trilogies. Sorry.
We'll be here all day.
Yeah.
This is voice acting starring, because there's no actual actors in the movie. Jay Baruchel, America Ferrera.
The French version of Jay Baruchel.
Yeah. America Ferrera. Stop it. F. Murray Abraham.
I love F. Murray, though.
Kate Blanket. Blanchett, sorry.
Blanket.
Yeah. Gerard Butler. Craig Ferguson. Mm. Jonah Hill. Christopher Mintz Plasse. Kristen Wiig.
That's Kristen Wiig.
Yes.
Kit Harington.
Fuck. Could you let me finish?
No.
Kit Harington.
I will not let you finish.
I don't think you know who Justin Ruppel is, but I'll say his name anyways. And
I know Julia Emelin.
I was about to say the same thing. I know Gideon Emery.
I also know Olafur Dari Olafsson. My God, that's so fucking Scandinavian.
David Tennant.
David Tennant's in this, huh?
Randomly. This is directed by Dean DeBlois. Written by Dean DeBlois.
I think he did all of them.
And Cressida Cowell, based on the book.
Yes, based on a novel. Cool.
You started the last one. I'll start this one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a fun movie. My son loved the movie. He's never seen part one or two because that's how kids are.
First one is required reading, though.
Yeah, it is a required reading. He'll watch
show it. Them, yeah.
He'll watch that when he actually understands things.
Yeah.
Or like what he's watching.
Outside the lawyer, if you want.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chen. Anyways, this one, How to Train Your Dragon, it was fun for kids. He liked it. It was a lot of cool stuff going on. I liked the message overall. A lot about friendship, a lot about growing up, a lot about knowing when to let go, knowing when to move forward about stuff like that, knowing that change is inevitable. That's a big thing. What's it called? You know, a lot of cool stuff that's going on compared to the first one. I don't really remember the second one. But compared to the first one and everything like that, it was cool. It was still cool. Don't get me wrong. Some of the stuff was still kind of hammy. Looks cool. Visually, still pleasing.
Oh, the visuals are really good.
Yeah, they really are. It's and I love the ending in this movie. That's what I had. So my family had fun. I had fun.
I should go too?
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's why I said family.
Okay, making sure. Okay. I thought that this might be the worst movie out of the trilogy for me.
I don't remember part two. I don't even remember if I saw it.
I did see it, part two, for sure. But I don't remember as much either because I've seen part one many more times.
It's with the mom.
I've only seen the second one once. So yeah. It is with the mom. He basically loses his dad in the second one, gains the mom.
Now. I remember now.
Right. Yeah. And so I know some background of this movie that led me to dislike it more. Especially this third one.
This happens a lot more to you.
But the second one as well, also because it came out of the second one. Apparently, the creators of this movie had an idea to make the mom the villain of part two, not this other guy who had this large dragon or something. She was going to be the villain, a misunderstood villain that misunderstood a lot of things, and that's why she was outcasted or whatever. I don't remember the origins of why she was out there, but she was presumed dead, right, and all this stuff, and so she became out there and became a dragon villain and shit like that, and she was going to be the main thing, and then it would lead into a part three that would have been like a really great reconciliation of her history coming back in a way, I think, which would have made more sense. But I really, really disliked the villain in this one, in this third movie. He was cool, he was smart, I get that, that's fine, but he seems like he was not necessary.
Yeah, that's true.
So much time is spent not necessarily using it. Like, it's so
and you know
bad.
Who felt who felt offset was the mother. The mother character felt like just like a random character there.
She was barely in the movie. She was doing her own thing, which is nice, but they barely in it.
Barely in it. Like almost just like, oh yeah, you're there.
Yeah, you're just there. I didn't feel. Like I like the concepts it comes up with, like the idea of being a good leader or a lasting leader. I like that kind of thing. Doesn't really get to any good place because everything works out for him, so he's going to be the leader. But that doesn't make him a good leader necessarily. I think the idea of him suddenly remembering this hidden world based on some flashback from his dad, just to keep Gerard Butler in check and give him some pay,
yeah.
Just to remember that scene from his childhood, to like, oh, let's look for this thing based on this one memory I have. And like, what? Like, what kind of leader? That's stupid. Let's go look for Atlantis as a country and let's lose our lives doing that. No, that's stupid. I found that the whole, I mean, I know they were going to find it, obviously. I didn't like that. I like a lot of that stuff. And I wasn't like any of the villain stuff could have just been scraped away. If this movie focused on what the ending was, because when the ending happens, I'm talking about the ending that's really good. It's like they were showing, it's like when that ending happened, I'm like, did this movie show any of that before? And it didn't. And it annoyed me, even though I liked the ending. I had a very Toy Story 3 ending. I liked it a lot. I just wish they fucking deserved it. You should have built up to that. You should have taken out the villain and focused. I mean, you don't have to have always action, or you can have action in different ways. Like, you don't have to have a major villain to always guarantee some sort of entertainment. It could have been entertainment with beautiful vistas of maybe, like, what if it was, like, retraining, what's the life hero's name?
Toothless.
Retraining Toothless to fly by himself, you know, with this new rig or whatever, maybe like doing that so he can couple with this Light Fury, you know, and then while doing that, becoming a better leader or whatever the fuck, or the idea, or even like focusing on the idea that you know, these humans are either treating these dragons as pets or are they more like companions? Like, there's a difference. And I think the movie tries to ask that question, but it was never fully answered because Toothless seems to have his own agency. Like, he's the leader of all dragons. But also, is he a pet or not? It kind of goes both ways. And it feels like the movie's making fun or making jokes along the lines of pet ownership. But, like, it also doesn't believe it, and it feels like it's confusing.
I can get that. But I think there's more companions than pets, so...
I mean, for him, probably. For Hiccup, and not for everyone else, it looks like.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it was more of a
companion. Maybe Astra too, but the rest...
No, I just think there were... Well, the rest we don't focus too much, especially in this movie.
That one kid with the pet in front of...
baby?
In the pouch all the time?
Well... I didn't see it as a pet. I saw it as like he's like acting father or acting mother bear, and he's just there.
Have you seen people with their pets?
I have.
It looked like that.
I get it, yeah. But what I'm saying is I still think that it's they overall, and that you get small snippets of it, but the island I still think treats them all like companions. Like, you guys are all to all be roam free and everything. It's like the loose dogs everywhere in other countries. Yeah, just allowed to be everywhere. Mm-hmm. Grab food, grab this. I love that the sheep difference is that they actually care for them here. Not like in Mexico or whatever. They're just like, fuck your food.
Yeah.
Like, get your scrap somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I love the sheep all have to wear the dragon outfits because if not, they'll eat them.
Yeah. Huh?
It's really funny.
That was funny.
And then they're like, one of them stepped out of line or something in one of the ships from when they're flying. And he's like looking out, like, he does the ba, right? And then... He's like, the dragon looks at him and is like, I'll go back to my place now. Like, I want to stay alive. Funny shit, right?
Yeah.
But I do think they see them more as companions. They see them more like, hey, we need you as much as you need us in this part. So we grow food for you guys and you kind of protect us and we kind of protect you guys as well from people. We're providing a safe haven for you guys. I thought that still looks like that for me more than that. Obviously, Toothless is the one who gets the most screen time, and this is a weird thing about him being this king apex person or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he is. I mean, we always knew from the first movie that he was like the apex predator of dragons, right? But I guess I forgot this about part two because it was established since part one, I believe.
I forgot about it also.
But in part two mainly, and I think definitely by now.
That he's, part three, that everyone follows him.
That everyone follows him.
All the dragons.
It's like instinctual and is always like 100% true.
Yeah, it's like the alpha, they call it, right?
Like the Lion King, right? And
yeah, exactly.
And like, oh, and it doesn't have to convince anyone, doesn't show approval. He is a knife fury, therefore he is that person.
Yes.
He is that leader.
Exactly. Even the bigger dragons.
Right, yeah, even the bigger that's right.
Yeah,
because he's small, really. He's like medium sized at most. And
yeah, I would say he's just probably has the bigger brain. It looks like it, right?
Almost. Yeah, and he can disappear or something.
Yeah, he can't turn invisible. Yeah.
Right, or whatever, teleport, whatever he does.
No, he does. It turns invisible.
That's what
he does.
Sure. Yeah. I don't remember. And I guess that's cool enough. I just wish this movie kind of committed to exploring that stuff to its fullest conclusion, or at least if it's going to be like, I feel like we're really treading into almost spoilers, so I'm going to stop there. And so I'll just say that while all that stuff is there, the movie is very quite beautiful. It's the details, they keep increasing it. It's so good that the animation work here, it's continually getting better and better every year. Yeah, almost noticeably every year. It's
weird.
I can't keep, no one can keep up. It makes it harder to watch previous
a little bit stuff. I do say the same thing. It does feel like that
because
we're
just so advanced every time.
Yeah, it does feel like that.
And obviously the impact of the first How to Train Your Dragon, isn't, I don't know, like it's not gonna happen again. I mean, not with no movies. I'm just saying not with this trilogy,
right?
Because the first one's still it's an amazing movie. That's top 10 worthy right there.
It is.
Yeah, the animation's great. I like the fight scenes were cool. That was they were still pretty good. Not as good as maybe some other ones, but I think they were just as good. And
it feels like you want something more from the movie, obviously. Right? You've said that, but
still, was smart,
it's still a very little kids movie, and they still have like their dumb stuff where they try to do covert stuff, right? And everybody's acting a fool.
Yeah.
The twin brothers.
Like,
sister,
the tough nut or whatever was annoying, the villain in the cage. That was funny.
Right.
That one landed with me.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Oh, they played that one beautifully.
Yeah, that was really funny. But also,
like the whole thing with the beard, with his long hair.
Pretty, you know, it's like everyone's, it's like the main problem Hiccup has, other than him himself getting in the way, is that he still hangs out with kids, and he does extremely important, life-threatening things with these people that doesn't understand to shut the fuck up or doesn't take anything seriously.
Right.
It's like, it's like if you're a hitman, you invite your friends over for a hitman squad or to kill a few people. Right. And they're like, and they're fucking everything up. They can't even turn on the walkie-talkie, right? It's like, it becomes a shit show instantly. And why would you take anything seriously? There's no stakes in that. I don't believe the stakes anymore. I just don't believe it.
Yeah.
I get it. They're funny caricatures, but like, at the expense of what? The bad guy who's super serious and smarter than him going to win? Like, what the fuck is that? And also, pretty bad. Okay, well, that's probably spoilers. No, that's not spoilers. Pretty terrible idea for the bad guy to just release a Night Fury in the hopes that he'll get the Night Fury. Like, I thought she was controlling her. He was never controlling her. She just like let. He's like, here's biology. he's gonna hope that everything's gonna fall just right. It just felt like contrivance. Like,
yeah,
hot contrivance. So yeah. Anything else you want to say before we get into
something? Nope.
Okay, cool. So, spoilers for this movie. It's just so long.
It is.
How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, starting right now.
It's just funny. I knew it, you did it, but...
Yeah.
Now.
Legends tell of ships that sailed too close to it, only to drop off the edge of the world, never to be seen again. But those sailors who turned back told tales of a great waterfall and dragons guarding the entrance to a hidden world. Not just a nest, Hiccup, but a land from which all dragons come.
Even Night Furies?
Especially Night Furies.
Those are scary.
Don't you worry. One day I'll find the hidden world and seal it up so that people and dragons will fight no more.
Now.
Wow.
Anyway. So yeah, that didn't make sense, the villain thing. I like his dragons. I guess everything about him was cool. If this was the second movie, that's fine. But because that would be the first time we see a big time. But I feel like they already defeated their leader, like all the monster dragon trapper leaders, like in the second one. That's what he was. I don't care about some second rate guy who's just after Night Furies. How convenient! There's one last Night Fury, one last everything. You know, like it's just come on. I felt like there because the movie needed action and a plot. And I'm like, you had plenty of plots all around you that you were ignoring. And then you brought up an ending to one of those plots at the end of the movie without having a middle to it. You know, it just really, really kind of annoyed me. So that's my problem with it. I know you like the ending, and I like the ending too.
Yeah.
For what it was. I just
I agree with you.
It would have way more to it would have way more gravity if it earned it.
I agree with you. I just feel like it is a missed opportunity on their part. I felt like the movie stayed for the children and it should have grown up with them.
Right. Yeah. Also Hiccup is older. I mean, the first one came out 10 years ago, roughly.
That's why I'd say the movie should have grown up with them.
It should have, yeah.
Yeah. I agree. And that's where it failed, because the movie's even talking about that, and it doesn't do it until the very end.
Yeah, until Hiccup has kids.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good one. And also, like, the idea that why can't Toothless come back and forth from the world and see him? Why does it have to be...
He's got his own family now.
Yeah, but what the fuck? We still see our friends once a year, twice a year. That doesn't mean anything. You have a family. It's like I don't see you.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous. I just didn't think that's also kind of flimsy. Is my point.
They're creatures.
They're not that far off. And it didn't seem that far off. I mean, in the movie timeline of this movie alone, it's they kind of make it seem like he can go there, or I mean, Toothless can come back. They don't have dragons to fly with anymore.
Yes,
but like he can come back whenever. Like, you know, just hang out. What's wrong with that? Get an update.
Yeah.
What
would have been cool is that they come update and make sure the wing is fine and all this other stuff.
Right, or something. Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, something like that. That would be cool. Or maybe just him, you know. It doesn't have to be like a big shindig where he brings every dragon or anything. It's just some of them. Oh, just one of him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. So, yeah, that happened. And the ending, again, felt very Toy Story 3-ish.
I agree.
which does feel like a knockoff, and especially because it, Toy Story 3 worked better.
Yeah.
That's why.
I do agree.
Yeah. Like, if it worked just as well or even better, then I wouldn't call it much of a knockoff. I would say it's a great progression of story. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I wish the mother had a lot more to do. I wish she was like a conciliary type. That would have been so cool. She tried to be a few scenes, but not really enough to call her that. She would have been so cool as like the advisor and
I
shit.
I wish it would have been cool as the advisor to even the wife or his future wife, the girl.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That would have been cool.
Astrid, I think.
Yeah, Astrid, yeah. I would have been cool even to that. That would have been a cool thing. I just felt like we got too little of her and too little of Astrid, the mother and the Astrid.
Yeah, they definitely took a back seat from the first two movies.
Yeah, and you'd hope, and I know it was supposed to be more character development for this guy to find his own thing and whatever, but we barely got that as well.
Yeah,
you are right about the movie should have been more.
Also, less inventing from Hiccup. He was the inventor in the first movie. And the second one, too, because he invented that cool sword and his other weapons.
Yeah.
But, like, what happened to the inventor, like, creative Hiccup? He just became a guy like, I thought of this place that my dad told me. Let's go there and let's stop at this island and this is a new home suddenly. I'm like, what? That's the best you got? I feel like also that took a backseat. And that was kind of what made him really interesting to me. And it's probably to a lot of kids, they can invent all this cool stuff.
Yeah. The one thing he invented was that new wing thing for him. And that's about it.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, he did invent that. But he had it like, in his back pocket.
Yeah. Well, it was like, let me try this again.
Yeah. I guess, hey, they do have like a little montage of him inventing the damn wing. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. One thing. Yeah, I don't know. I felt like it could have done, like, can you imagine a movie where the villains got completely... Because I think that the second one really showed that all these trappers had to go somewhere else. Like, they did such a good job of annihilating him and the biggest threat, which is that big dragon he was controlling. I'm like, how do you, if you're like a monster, if you still hate dragons and still want to hunt them for sport and money, how do you not go somewhere else to do it? Like, after all that. So I figured, like, let's say there's no bad guys. No bad guys of that ilk in part three. And just... have the bad guy being like time catching up to this Night Fury, discovering this Light Fury, and Hiccup figuring out what it is to be the leader of this thing, and maybe having to move out because of the overbearance of their small island.
Yeah.
What's wrong with, that's so many things they could do stuff in. There's so many things they could do stuff. It could have been some major visuals. They could have taken time with it.
Yeah.
Would have been more.
I agree. But I think we already said why.
Yeah. No,
movie,
I know.
Just the movie didn't want to grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the Toys R Us commercials.
Look what happened to them.
Damn.
Too soon. Hold.
Too soon.
Giraffe
there. All right. So anything else you want to say on The Hidden World?
No. Like I said, I still had fun watching the movie. Don't get me wrong.
Looked beautiful, The Hidden World.
It still did.
That was cool. I was like, when they were going to The Hidden World, I'm like, where are they going to? Because at first I thought they might go there, the humans. Yeah. I'm like, where are they going to stay at? You know, it took a while before they got to a perch. I'm like, oh, wow, that far in, huh? You know, like, and also, like, no one discovered this place. No one, zero. I mean, it does feel like you can miss it, I guess, because it's like a inner waterfall type thing. It's not that noticeable, I guess. But it looked, I don't know, I guess it looked both big and also hidden. So I guess it worked. So yeah, those are our thoughts on How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. And that is it for our show. So you have been listening, from my knowledge. Another movie podcast. Don't forget to send us feedback if you wish to do so on our opinions on this movie and other movies we've done in the past to podmoviecast@gmail.com. You can follow me and my movie watching habits on Letterboxd and also on Twitter under the same handle, which is Armin Filmmaker. That's filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Sorry, I almost forgot.
It's okay.
And what about you, Ralph?
You can follow me on Twitter at GamerRalph. That is with two R's and an F.
Next time, so we are a bi-weekly show. So next time, we'll be coming out with, I think I want to do Neil Jordan's new movie called Greta, which will be in theaters by then. I'm going to try to really watch that.
Okay.
And the other one is Edgio 4. What's his name? Chiwetel Ejiofor's directorial debut movie coming out on Netflix called The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind.
Okay.
And the third movie, this one I might switch, but it's the HBO original movie, OG.
Okay.
So, cool. But that might change. But stay tuned for that, guys. Until then, I am Oscar.
Ralph.
Later.
You will not remember the last hour and a half of what you have just seen. You will forget the contents of this movie.
No, no. I went shopping the other day. I got my tax return. So.
What did you do?
I went to grocery shopping the other day. And then,
You went shopping?
I said shopping, didn't I?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Well, what did you do?
Sometimes my brownness comes out.
You know, that is one of the times the brownness does come out from you. It's rare, but it happens, Oscar.
It is rare.
What you got there today?
I'm half tired.
And cold? Are you cold?
I guess I thought I would be. I'm not.
Just curious.
Yeah, I'm fine. But I grab the coat mainly
because... Where'd you get that coat from?
So I can grab all these batteries and things that I needed. So I can
where'd you get that coat from?
Oh, I got it... Because
it's not... It's not a...
No, it's not dad approved, no.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's not from dad. I know we got our coats from him usually.
No, that doesn't mean anything. Okay. It's just... I mean, if you're getting that type of coat, you might as well buy it from dad.
Right.
Just makes sense.
So what are you saying? What
no, it just so, looks like it's denim. Is it denim?
I think. It's from Walmart.
Do you know what denim is?
Yeah, it's like jeans.
Okay.
But...
All right, halfway there. It looks kind of like a mechanic's jacket.
Yeah, I saw the Phantom Thread. That's nothing to do with any of that. It's the denim in that
nothing
movie.
To do with that. That's just something you should know in life.
No, it's a thing where like...
Also, that movie is way too new for you not to use another frame for a different reference. There you go. So don't feel offended.
No, but you meant to... you meant it as a
offensive I meant joke. It both ways.
Yeah. Even if it's correct, it's still. Like if I tell Robin, hey, you're a dumbass. I'm offending him, but it's still.
But it fits the truth. Yeah. Does it? I mean, you may be offending him, but it's still the truth. You know?
I mean, that kind of makes you an asshole.
Sort of.
Yeah, kind
but,
of.
But didn't you already
it's
know
a,
that, though?
It's a very. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. Right. I meant
you it know what's funny is when people say, no, you're a very nice person. I laugh.
Oh, dude, the people tell me that all the time.
People like, tell
oh,
me all the time I'm a nice person, and I go, you don't know me.
You don't, like, what and makes then, you think that?
What am I
called? All I do is make fun of you.
At work, like, this one girl's like, oh, no, you're such a, you're like a nice person. And I was like, that's cute. And this other guy, my other friend, coworker goes, he's an asshole. I was like, I am an asshole.
Yeah.
I go, I'm just a nice asshole. That's the difference. Is yes. Like, I can be a very nice asshole. Like, I know when to be nice. I know how to be nice. I know where to be nice. I go, at the same time, I know 90% of the time, I'm myself and I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Talk to my wife. She'll tell you I'm not a nice person. I'm an asshole.
Hmm. No. Talk to my coworkers, my friends, everybody. They all, everyone knows.
They all agree. But at the interview, but at the interview, I'm a charming motherfucker.
All right.
Too much. Are we warmed up now?
I think, do you feel?
Was that enough talking for you? To get my volumes?
Yeah, whoever says you're nice is completely off. don't worry. I will be on top of my asshole game in a minute.
Okay.
Let's start talking
more. Yeah, I know. You're going to talk about bad shit about Green Book. That's why.